If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You love my black ass. You know why? Because I'm excited.
Black is not a color.
Tell that to black people.
I don't know any.
Affirmative action was designed to keep women and minorities in competition with each other to distract us while white dudes inject AIDS into our chicken nuggets. That's a metaphor.
It's on! Race war! Race war's on, everybody! It's going down! It's going down!
Tom Brady takes their football team down and scores. You're down a touchdown. All of a sudden, you take your team 83 yards in 12 plays. Was there ever any doubt that you could pull that off?
I'm sticky.
That is not very nice. I have a nephew who's retarded, and he has to wear a helmet.
And now,
are you ready?
I sure am. Are you ready?
I sure am.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it's Monday, the 4th of February.
So that happened.
So how about that?
Lisa,
did you watch?
I did. I watched the last hour and a half. I went out to lunch and then got home in time to watch the rest.
And you were excited, weren't you?
I was on the edge of my seat. It was awesome.
And you had no interest going into it.
Mm-mm.
On Friday.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that was a great Super Bowl.
And you know, my boyfriend loves Boston, so he was, of course, cheering for the Patriots.
And that made the more sweet.
So I sort of, but as the game progressed, I kind of got really excited for the Giants, and I was kind of happy for him at the end.
They really have heart. That's a strange situation because I've been trained to hate all New York teams.
Sure. He does, yeah.
And so rooting for the New York Giants, who, by the way, play and practice and live in New Jersey, it's odd, but it was in that particular instance, I wanted them to win so bad. That was so great.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool.
I was really torn. I couldn't decide because I think it would be cool to see a team go undefeated, Patriots are a great team.
Yeah.
And it would be. I kind of wanted them to win because I've hated the Giants my whole life, too. Ever since I was a Redskins fan as a kid, I hated the Giants.
Sure.
So it was. I was very torn, but you couldn't have asked for a more exciting fourth quarter, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. My problem with New England is that I don't think they are the best team ever, but everyone was ready to anoint them that. And then for the rest of our lives, we would have to hear, oh, best team ever has to be the 2008. Oh, shut up. I don't want to hear it.
It would be hard to not put them in that that category, though, of certainly being close to.
Sure.
I mean, if you win 4 Super Bowls, which they would have last night in, 8 years or something like that?
7 years.
You certainly have to put them up there with teams like the 80s 49ers and the 90s Cowboys. I mean, you have to, don't you?
I guess, but you don't now, do you?
Given their record, though, why wouldn't you believe that they were the best team ever?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's based on nothing?
Here's my...
It's just a gut. It's just like, well, that team's really good. Yeah, but...
Well, they're very hateable. They're a hateable group of dudes. Here's my trouble with last night is that I hate the Patriots, so I didn't want them to win. And I was rooting for the Giants. But at the same time, I also equally hate the old man Dolphins popping champagne every year.
Yeah.
And I so desperately wanted to see that come to an end.
You wanted them to die with nothing. You wanted them to die as not even being the undefeated team who won the most games.
Group of bastard sore winners with champagne bottles every year.
They are dicks.
I will tell you that I did not think... I thought it was very tacky when they interviewed some of the 72 Dolphins. And for folks who don't follow, that's the last and only team that had ever gone undefeated in a slightly shorter season than we have today. And that was back in 1972. So they interviewed these guys before the game, as they have been constantly for the last 2 weeks. And they asked him, so are you actively rooting against the Patriots? And one of the dudes that they had on TV said, yes, I am.
And you know, guys like Terry Bradshaw and Joe Montana have been interviewed recently getting ready for this Super Bowl. And they said, you know, I have a lot of records, and I always root for them to be broken, and I encourage people to break them.
Because it's good for the game. Terry said that last night. He's like, look, he wants Roethlisberger to break every record he ever had at Pittsburgh because he, you know, loves the team and loves the game, and it's great for the game, and he's not selfish enough to think that his records ought to last forever.
And you want to see the game progress. Exactly. And these guys are making it rain on the sidelines every time a team loses when they get, you know, more than 12 wins.
I know.
A-holes.
The other issue was, did we want Giselle to be sad?
Well, you never want a model to cry.
Exactly.
That is true, Lisa.
That was my, ooh, I don't know, because she's going to have a bad night.
If she's sad and she cries, then she might run out looking for some kind of a shoulder to cry on.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And then I could be there.
They did show her a few times last night. That was one benefit for having Tom Brady in the game, is because we got to see Giselle.
Did you see Pam Anderson when she saw the camera on her, kind of fluff her head all in her,
I did.
Her hair all in her face?
I did, yeah.
That's sad.
It seemed a little light on celebrities, by the way, last night at the game.
Yeah, it did to me, too.
Didn't you think?
Yeah. Especially considering they had an official red carpet.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, they gave Ryan Seacrest way too much time.
So I didn't see any of that.
Wow. You know, the
first
thing they did, and we'll give you some highlights of this coming up at the 6 o'clock hour, so we don't want to talk about it too much right here, but the first thing that they did was show video of Ryan playing football in high school. Because remember, like, he came out and said, oh, yeah, Ryan played in high school. We were like, yeah, right. So they showed video. Oh, here's Ryan. He plays. It was almost like they were going, come on, everybody. He's a sports guy. Seriously, it's all right. It was like that.
That's great. The Super Bowl pregame show.
Yes.
This is of Ryan playing football in high school.
Just a quick clip. And you can't see his face. I mean, the guy could have been black for all we know. It was a shot from behind. And they said he was team captain. And I was just like, come on. And so it begins.
Yeah.
It was funny because Kurt Menefee, who's the replacement black guy for James Brown on the Fox telecast, all day long he kept saying, we're going to be talking football all afternoon, but right now let's throw it out to Ryan. He wanted to make sure people knew that they still were aware that there was a football game going on, but
yeah.
That the a-holes at Fox that have American Idol were forcing him to throw it to Ryan, and they were not happy about it.
And by the way, Ben Roethlisberger, you mentioned a second ago.
Yes.
Seriously.
With his American Idol commercial?
Seriously.
Sad.
That was pathetic.
Oh, is he the football player singing in the locker
yes.
room?
Yes. He's the quarterback of the Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know who that was.
Sad.
That's not funny.
No, you're right about that, Terry. You are correct. There was only one guy crying yesterday that I saw. I don't know if you guys saw our friend Plaxico Burress.
Oh, yeah. He was the winner.
You see him crying after the game?
Sure.
I don't know if we'll have time for this later, so let me play this, because every sporting event now has to have a guy crying after the game.
I mean, you know, I got to give credit to God. I mean, for him to be bringing me out here every Sunday, keeping me healthy, just healthy enough to go out and compete. And I just said, God, if I can go out here tonight and compete, I just love it. I'd just be so thankful. But for us to come out here and get a win,
yeah.
Man.
Waterworks.
It just means so much.
Thank you, Plexico.
Waterworks.
Love
there
that.
It is.
Love that. By the way, he's a cowboy? I didn't know that. Sounds like he's a cowboy. Well, I'm praying to God.
Got the accent, yeah.
That's fantastic. Anytime anyone cries, I like it.
Listen, this is not about Tony.
Remember?
You guys can point the finger at him.
Yeah.
You can talk about the vacation. And if you do that, it's really unfair.
Mm-hmm.
It's really unfair. It's my team. It's my quarterback.
That's right.
And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair. We lost as a team.
Yes, you did.
We lost as a team, man.
I love that.
That's not funny.
Terry Bradshaw, by the way, just one last note.
He's awesome.
I'm about done with.
Why?
He's awesome.
I don't know. He just bugs me.
He's a little too comfortable in there, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. He's just, he's sound down. He's not that good looking.
I think he's entertaining.
Yeah.
He's enthusiastic and he's entertaining and he's having a great time and he's not taking it seriously, yet he still respects the game. I think that's a great combination.
Mm.
And by the way, while we're talking about announcers, how do you not love the team last night? How do you not love
Joe Buck?
The guys in the booth last night. Yeah, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman,
yeah.
Who hands down are the best announcing team on football. You can take your Al and John, you can stuff it.
Oh, please.
Seriously.
John Madden, of course, is in a league all his own, and I'm not sure where that league is. But those guys were great. Yeah, I like them. Mm-hmm. I like them a lot. So Lisa actually watched the Super Bowl. How about that?
I did. It was good.
Got some highlights. We'll play you some Ryan Seacrest lowlights coming up, which Lisa missed, and wow.
Can't wait.
Someone at Fox should be fired.
I wonder if they'll do it again next year if Fox has the game. I don't know if they do or not, but
I wonder how that experiment
worked.
I hope not.
Did they play the Paula Abdul video?
Oh, yes.
I couldn't find it.
That was before. It was in the four-hour pregame.
Oh, it was in the pregame.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was during the halftime.
No.
Okay.
No, there was some old homeless guy at halftime. I don't know what that was.
Come on. Tom Petty was great.
Yeah, okay.
I guess as I fast-forwarded. It sounds good.
I've never been less interested in a halftime show in my entire life. This morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Psycho Mike's wife is going to step out on him, and we all know it.
What?
It's coming this week, and
yeah.
she's pretty much just going to bend over for, you know, someone else.
She doesn't hide it. No. Really.
At least she lets you know. I mean, she just is honest with it rather than sneaking around behind your back. At least she put out a press release.
She was over at the house yesterday and told me that she was doing some stretches in preparation.
Really?
So I thought that was nice.
Wow.
We have tickets all this week in the 7 o'clock hour each day for the Grammys. And these are tickets that you can't buy. They don't put these on sale.
Mm-hmm.
But they're for the Grammys. And we're going to give you your tickets this morning with LaLisa.
Ooh, we haven't done that
in a long time. Haven't done that in a while, right?
Yep.
What are the Grammys? Are they like next Monday night or something?
They are the 10th, whenever that is. I don't know.
All right.
Yep, Monday. Sunday?
Monday? Who knows? Sunday, I believe. Okay. We're going to talk to Matt Money-Smith about the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Our former sports guy. We're going to talk to a guy today, and if we read the article correctly, which doesn't seem possible, this guy is getting sued by the RIAA, which is the recording industry.
Right.
For
Association of America.
Quote, illegally transferring his CDs to his own computer. So the guy bought CDs legally and then transferred them to his own computer, and that's illegal, according to the Recording Industry of America.
Well, you're going to have to arrest everyone with a computer and
yep,
an iPod.
That is correct.
That is stupid. God, I hate them so much.
I do, too. I mean, I can understand where they came from at the beginning, where they're trying to protect whatever.
Illegal
but,
downloading?
Yeah, this seems like it's a little bogus, or a lot bogus.
I can't imagine what they hope to accomplish.
Friday, we talked to John Cryer from Two and a Half Men, New York Giants fan.
I know.
And he said, I'm willing to talk to you on Monday, win or lose.
That's right.
So we're going to see if we can bump him for anything else. we got Kevin Federlisi on the program today. He's got a new song out.
Excellent.
Very excited about that. And details on K-Rock's World Tour 2008 Destination Number 5 at 7:20 this morning.
Mm.
So we'll do all of that coming up. Let's take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat next.
And now, a black moment with Lisa May.
So much ice in my mouth that my breath causes blizzards. Every time I inhale, I end up freezing my gizzards.
That was a black moment with Lisa May.
Wow.
I have never been blacker.
Just barely black.
Oh, please. I am
black
like
History
midnight.
Month. It's part of our tribute.
She's as black as they get.
That's right.
It's she's blacker than Barack Obama, I'll tell you that. It's 5:50 on the Kevin and Bean Show, Monday morning. As we mentioned, details on Destination Number 5 of the K-Rock World Tour 2008 coming up at around 7:20 this morning. Ralph is here with our first look at the showbiz beat for a Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Super Bowl is kind of light on celebrities for my taste.
Oh, Christ.
All right, Ryan Seacrest.
I was just surprised, considering they went to all the trouble to have a red carpet, that there weren't more big names there. That's all I was saying.
Don't need them. Don't need
I
them.
Agree.
Got the football game. Don't need
I totally agree. Don't care if there are any celebrities there, but since they make a point of spotlighting them, I'm surprised that more rich and famous people don't go to the game. That's
I thought the game was a little light on celebrities. I was hoping for more.
By the way, Psycho Mike, so wrong about the Miami Dolphins in 1972.
What do you say?
Love the fact that they get off on the fact that no one could beat their accomplishment. You know why? Because first and foremost, this is a team that is the only team ever to have a perfect season.
Right.
And they are given no credit at all in the NFL until someone is threatening to break their record. You never hear about them as one of the best teams ever. They never talk about their Super Bowl. They never talk about their accomplishment unless someone's knocking on the door of a perfect season. Then they bring them out again. These guys have been disrespected for 35 years now.
True. They were actually underdogs going into the Super Bowl where they had the perfect season.
Right.
But
they get no props whatsoever until this happens. It's the only time anybody talks about their team. And I think, understandably, they're cheesed off. So they want to hold on to what little lack of respect they actually get from people.
I just see that. I see them as sore winners. And I always, when a team is trying to do something special in the current day, the last thing I need is a bunch of old men on the sideline rubbing it in their faces.
If they got more props like the, like Bradshaw's teams in the 70s and some of the other big Super Bowl teams, the bigger accomplishments. Even Doug Williams gets mentioned more than these guys do. I think they probably would be easier to let it go. But this is their thing. They got to hold on to it.
Yeah.
So I like to see those old dudes celebrating once in a while. Because I think it's refreshing, too, for them to say, yeah, I want to keep the record. Screw the new people. Because everyone else is like, well, records are meant to be broken. No, I'm fine with it. I'm fine that he beat my record. You know it's got to sting. These guys are like, hell no. We want to hold on to it. God bless those old farts down in Florida. Ah, I never rooted for the Giants before in my life, and I probably never will again.
Right.
But how great was that game?
How weird was it rooting for that team?
Oh,
it was great.
It was spectacular.
Eli?
magical.
Super tard strength.
Yeah. He's an idiot savant. He's like one of those guys who can do nothing but apparently throw the football.
He certainly doesn't ever close his mouth, I'll tell you that.
Nope.
He's a mouth breather.
That mouth does not close.
And how about Belichick walking off the field early?
Yeah.
What a piece of garbage
that
he is.
And Brady, too.
That was awesome. So beautiful
what
when he did that.
What a piece of garbage he is.
Oh, there's 1 second left. I don't care. I'm walking
Screw
off
it.
The
I'm
field.
I'm going to call the game when I'm done with it, and then I'm going to congratulate the game, the other coach before the game's over and walk off. And the ref's like, Bill, we got to say, get out of my way. I'm leaving the game. Pushes the ref out of the way.
Surprised he didn't take the ball.
I didn't think they were going to be able to clear that field. There were so many people on it. I was really surprised that they were able to do it.
Yeah.
Right, but in every other instance, the head coach would be trying to help clear the
field. Hey, guys, we still got a couple seconds. Wait for it to tick off.
Not him.
Not Bill. See, he had an assful of that game. He was done.
He was done.
That might have been the sweetest moment.
Great game. All right, let's talk about showbiz. Before I get to the showbiz news, I have a pair of passes to give away to the K-Rock advanced screening of a film I'm really looking forward to called Jumper. Have you seen this? Looks awesome.
Does look awesome. Yeah.
People the ability just to transport themselves anywhere in the world. Anywhere as possible is the tagline for this film. Starts Hayden Christensen. I can't believe I'm looking forward to a Hayden Christensen movie.
There you go.
But we've also got Rachel Bilson in there.
Sure.
Yum, yum, yum. Yeah. And Samuel L. Jackson also. It is Tuesday, February the 12th at the Man's Chinese Theater in Hollywood, at the lovely Hollywood and Highland Complex. If you'd like to see Jumper before everyone else does, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller 12, who gets through, gets a pair of passes to the advanced K-Rock screening. Looking forward to seeing that film. Speaking of movies, number one at the box office this weekend, freaking Hannah Montana.
Sure.
The Hannah Montana Miley Cyrus concert tour movie made $29 million this week.
Wow.
That was on less than 700 screens, you guys.
Yeah. Oh, my god!
That's
gosh.
Small compared to the big releases, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
By about a third.
Wow.
Is that unbelievable?
Nuts. The Eye, in its debut, came in at second with $13 million. Then 27 Dresses at number three. Juno was number four.
No!
Meet the Spartans, still hanging in at the top five, by the way.
How about that?
Then Rambo at six. The Bucket List was number seven. Untraceable came in at number eight. Cloverfield was nine. And There Will Be Blood rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to one of the loves of my life, Catherine McPhee. She got married over the weekend.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, she said I do to her boyfriend Nick Kokas in Beverly Hills.
Is he the guy that's twice her age?
Well, not twice. He's 19 years older than her. Okay. She's 23.
Close enough.
He's 42. Wow.
Dude.
He's the luckiest man in the world.
We didn't think that one would last, I don't think.
Well, they were dating before she ever went on to American Idol.
That's why I didn't think it would last.
And
I don't think I understand that.
Because then she's the American Idol, and she's hanging in with a whole different group of people. She leaves the old man behind. But
Catherine's not that way.
No, apparently not.
She's made of better stuff than you. Because you know Bean would be immediately just dumping whoever he was with.
He would never tell him that either. He'd just disappear.
Just doing nothing but hanging outside Zac Efron's house. Just waiting for a showbiz relationship. Speaking of Zac, apparently trouble in paradise between Zac Efron and Vanessa Hughes.
Or Hudgens.
Yeah. Like it matters.
What's going on with him?
Sorry, I don't know a lot about the
High School Musical world.
High School Musical cast. My bad. Star Magazine says that Zac was overheard mumbling he wishes he was single after he walked past a bunch of screaming female fans. Apparently there was a guy at the end of the red carpet, and he said, boy, I wish I was single. The girls just happened to be screaming. More relationship trouble between Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi.
Uh-oh.
Star Magazine reports that Portia has a new love in her life, Guitar Hero 3.
Really?
She's addicted to playing the video game, and Ellen is feeling ignored because Portia's spending so much time shredding. On GH3.
It's hard not to be obsessed with that game.
Tell me about it. I know you are.
I am.
Did you rock out at your Super Bowl party?
I did not, know.
You didn't whip out the Guitar Hero?
I was going to, and then I thought I'd give the kids a
Kevin
chance.
Kevin right now is playing along with Tom Petty on Running Down a Dream. He is just rocking out the Guitar Hero 3.
No, that was boring.
Tom Petty sounded great.
He did sound great.
It was all the greatest hits, like five in a row. I said, that is the greatest mini concert ever.
I guess. I had no interest.
What's not to like about Tom Petty, though? They're great songs, great musicianship.
I don't know. Just
solid performance. I mean,
I don't know.
What could you have asked for him to have done better?
An entertainer that sings songs that I like. And by the way, did you guys notice that Jed the Fish was playing guitar for him? Did you notice that?
Jed the Fish.
That guy did look like Jed.
One of the guitarists. Didn't realize he was
How do you not love the song Free Fallin'? I don't know anybody who doesn't love Free Fallin'.
It was a good song.
American
you know?
Girl. He opened up with American Girl, one of the great songs of all time.
Yeah, didn't care. Didn't care at all.
You got to be put down.
No, I didn't want to hate it. I just had no interest. I'd listen to
it.
You have
no interest, but then you start watching and go, wow, this is really good. Nope. Now I'm interested because it's good.
Nope, less interest every time I looked.
At what point did you think, I was wrong to not look forward to this performance? This is very entertaining.
I'll let you know.
Now it's good that I'm watching and I'm enjoying it.
No, it was boring.
And Mike Campbell of the Heartbreakers, one of the great rock guitarists.
Don't know anything about that guy. Tremendous. Well, he was on your TV yesterday. You may have noticed he's an excellent musician.
Playing brilliant guitar licks while you were watching.
Just no interest.
Saying, so I was wrong. This is better than I could possibly have imagined.
Didn't say that. Just looked at it and went, okay, not interested.
Wow. Okay, but how about when one great song ended and then they went right into another one that was equally good? Then you thought, well, now it's getting good.
No, never thought that. Just every time they went into another song, I went, yep, that's another song.
Next time we have Dave Grohl on, I want you to tell him that you don't like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
I will. What do you want me to do?
Because that's one of his favorite bands ever.
After you get done telling him you hate Led Zeppelin. Yeah, I want you to combo a 1-2 punch.
Yeah. I don't hate Led Zeppelin.
And then Dave Grohl just kick your ass.
Yeah, he would at that point. That's true. Seriously, though.
No, you seriously, though.
And Tom Petty with his freaking homeless beard.
Oh, dude can't have a beard now? Now that's some sort of beard?
Is he or is he not the ugliest entertainer ever? Tom Petty.
Well, he's not the ugliest, but he's never been. That's not what he's ever been about, is good looks.
No,
I mean, he's
no poster
talented.
Boy.
I think the beard
talented.
Helps.
That's
he's no Zac Efron.
The beard helps?
I think it does.
Wow.
He's got that disappearing chin.
So that's how you're judging your artist now? By how cute they are, Kevin?
No.
Is that the new criteria?
When you don't like their music, you just go, okay, well, look at that beard. All right. Well, that guy looks like Jed the Fish. Okay,
too
I'm out.
For me. I need more handsome rock stars.
I don't need handsome.
Where's Gavin Rossdale when I need him at the Super Bowl halftime?
Madness.
No interest.
You're a tough guy to please at the halftime, man.
Just didn't care.
Britney Spears won't be leaving the UCLA Medical Center anytime soon. We all know she was admitted over the weekend for her 5150. However, we found out that she has been given an extended stay on her vacation to Cuckooville.
She's been renewed?
Yes.
Did they do the 14 days?
She'll be there for 14 days. Yeah. So, meanwhile, in court, Sam Lufty and Jamie Spears are still battling out with ex-wife Lynn Spears over who gets to control crazy Britney's life. First round goes to Jamie. Apparently, Mr. Spears got power of attorney over Britney and her financial affairs, along with a 22-day-long restraining order against Mr. Lufty. So,
that seems good.
First round goes to Dad. Today's celebrity birthdays. Quite a list. Conrad Bain.
Yeah! All right!
Oh.
You remember him as Mr. Drummond on Different Strokes.
Yes.
No.
Creepy old white dude who who brings two strapping young black men into his house. It's a little disturbing.
While completely
ignoring his natural daughter, Kimberly, just kind of shoved to the background while he doted on the two young black fellas.
What kind of message were they sending?
No one seemed to mind. What kind of Different Stroking was going on at late night in that household, I have no idea, but just seemed odd to me. Conrad Bate is 85 years old today. Natalie Imbruglia, talented and beautiful singer, is 33 years old today. Rick Birch, bassist for Jimmy Eat World, is 33. Oscar De La Hoya, boxer, is 35 years old today. But speaking of fights, did you see Brock Lesnar?
Did.
Get his leg almost snapped off by Frank Mir?
Ouch.
Here's the problem I got with the UFC. I know it's a grueling sport, and I respect the men who do it, but I don't want to see a fight end that way. When I see Brock Lesnar just pounding on this guy's head, I don't want it to end because the guy grabs his foot. Over. No. No. Stop it with the grabbing of the foot and rolling around like gay men.
Ralph brings up a good point. I love mixed martial arts. I'm a big supporter, but it's odd to see a guy just take blows to the dome. And then next thing you know, he's in some weird position going, ow! Ow!
Yeah, it's anticlimactic almost.
It's strange.
What you want to see is a guy just get popped right in the head and just go down and just like a ton of bricks. That's what you want to see.
Lisa, the guy we talked to last week, Brock Lesnar, he's the guy that was the monster of a man.
Guy,
he was beating up on Frank through the whole first round.
Just brutal. Just brutalizing him.
And Frank just flipped over, grabbed his foot, and he was tapping out.
Got your ankle. Got your ankle.
That was it.
Tag, you're it.
Over.
My favorite part is that the ref was sitting right next to Brock Lesnar and would not...
He's tapping
like,
and tapping.
Hey, look at me tap now. Please, my knee's going to be snapped in half.
And he's looking at him like, all right, are you going to tap?
Are you serious?
He's tapping the hell out of me.
All right, are you tapping or are you just like drumming on his ass? I can't figure it out.
He thought it was a wide stance at first.
Very strange.
Wow.
Yeah,
so. That was awesome.
And Alice Cooper celebrates his 60th birthday. Rock legend Alice Cooper.
She is good.
It's a dude.
Oh.
You see him in the commercial last night?
No.
He was in the Bridgestone commercial where first the guy avoids the deer, gets caught in the trap light in the headlights. Then Alice Cooper's out there with a snake and gets caught in the headlights and he avoids him. And then Richard Simmons is at the end. And the guy's like 10th and he starts to gun it. And he's like, oh, all right, I won't run him over. And
Richard Simmons
just
with
barely misses him.
With a tremendous amount of lipstick. By
oh,
the
really?
Way.
Well, he's on a commercial. He's got to get dolled up.
His lips were just bright red. Couldn't have had more on.
Good thing you didn't have a beard or you really wouldn't have liked him because I know you feel about those.
Yeah. What was your complaint? That Alice Cooper looked too old in that Bridgestone commercial?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Boy, is that guy good?
That's Foo Fighters, actually, right there.
No, the first... that's Rise Against.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Got the wrong page up.
Yeah, alrighty.
They fax me the music backwards every day. It takes me some time to get used to starting with the 9 o'clock hour. Anyway, a lot of stuff coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, including we'll talk plenty of a Super Bowl. We got some highlights from the red carpet, and I can't believe I'm saying those words, featuring Ryan Seacrest, and I can't believe I'm saying those words. That's coming up later this hour. Also, Matt Money Smith will be on later on today, Giants fan John Cryer, and details at 7:20 on destination number 5 of the K-Rock World Tour 2008.
Super Bowl, Schmooper Bowl is what I say. Next week.
Okay.
The Pro Bowl.
That's the game everybody's looking forward to. That's the real game right there.
That's the game where the Super Bowl's over and nobody cares about the NFL anymore. And then they go to Hawaii and they play a game. No one watches.
Right.
But it's all the superstars. And I don't know. Maybe you guys can help me convince Mike that there's a bit of a problem here. Psycho Mike. Psycho Mike's wife is going to Hawaii with superstar Tony Gonzalez, who's a tight end from the Kansas City Chiefs.
What do you mean with?
Well, Tony Gonzalez has a pregnant wife. Yes.
Okay.
Seven months.
He needs a substitute?
Yes.
Okay.
So he says, hey, pregnant wife, why don't you invite a friend of yours
really,
to come
really
along?
A really, hot friend?
Yes.
San's husband?
So they invite Psycho Mike's wife, Jenny, who is super hot.
Yes.
Yes.
And they don't invite Mike so much. Matter of fact, they don't invite him at all.
Oh, my God.
They can't do nasty things that are only legal in Hawaii if they invite Mike.
So basically, they're taking Mike's wife to Hawaii because pregnant girl doesn't want to do it, but pregnant girl will watch him do it with Jenny. I think that's the plan.
That's not why.
That's the way I read it.
He didn't invite me because future Hall of Famer Tony Gonzalez is intimidated by my manliness.
Right, of course that's it.
I'm so bad.
Sure.
So,
yeah,
of course that's it.
All right, let's find out what's going on here, and let's see if there's trouble in paradise. Jenny Psycho Mike, Mrs. Psycho Mike on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jen.
Good morning, everybody.
So you're literally up this morning packing and getting ready to leave for the airport to go to Hawaii.
I am in the car as we speak.
In the car.
Wow.
Okay.
On vacation with another man, not your husband.
Well, there's other girls and other men and, well, the whole group of people, really.
Yeah.
Sounds kinky.
Do you know what's going to be expected of you?
I do. There was actually a full, you know, contract I had to fill out of everything I was expected to do, you know.
Jenny came over yesterday and I asked her if she was doing stretches and she said, yep, I've already been stretching.
Yeah. All right, let me put it another way, Jenny. Remember all those girls that flew to the David Copperfield rape island? Remember all those girls? And they thought they knew what they were in store for. Oh, no, we're just going to have dinner and have a long walk on the beach. And then they realized they were chained up in a basement for a week. I mean, do you have some concerns about what's going to go down?
Well, I am going with one of my best friends.
Right.
So I'm pretty confident that it's going to be pretty straightforward. You know, most of my time will be with her.
Right.
Yeah, but she's,
you know, but
she is,
she's
broken,
too tired,
right?
I will have to fill in for her. But you know.
Right, that's the thing.
That's the point.
Once he wears her out, where does he go?
I'm just a stand-in wife while she's, you know.
That's what we think. My biggest concern is for my wife's health because taking a step up from my small cocktail Frank to the Tony Gonzalez member is like is going from like the golf and stuff pitch and putt to the PGA Tour without really taking any steps in between.
She's gonna go to the NFL training unit that's just gonna wreck her forever. And then she's gonna come back to you.
This dude's muscular. He's like 6'6 with size 17 feet. You know what the difference is? You know what the difference is between him and me in the pants?
Yeah, a lot.
Oh goodness.
Well, I took Kevin's advice and I've been doing my stretches. So
excellent.
Okay.
Now Jenny, he's not there with you, is he?
Oh no, he is.
Okay, would you put him on?
I'll ask.
Ask him.
I'll ask
Tony Gonzalez.
Okay, hold on.
Hello?
Hey, Tony.
What's up?
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean from K-Rock. We're on the air. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. What's up?
You are so the man. You know, the guy's on his way to the Pro Bowl, and he's got a pregnant wife, and he brings along a stand-in sex partner.
You're just smooth.
You're the man.
I didn't know that was part of the deal, but geez.
Well, I mean, once the invite was not given to Jenny's husband, that's what we figured, you know, that's the story. You could fill in the blanks.
Well, that really wasn't the idea.
Originally.
Well, initially, no, I'm glad.
You haven't seen Jenny in a bikini, though. It's going to become the idea once you guys get to Hawaii. See, this is what's great about Tony, though, is because he's a married guy with a pregnant wife, and he's not running around. He's not hiding in the shadows. He's basically walking down the street and pointing at hot chicks and going, you, and you. Let's get in the bus.
Honey, do you have any hot chick friends? Bring them along. I'm going to need them.
I wish that was the case. It sounds good to me.
Yeah, there you go.
He's playing it awfully cool, isn't he? He's playing it awfully cool.
Well, Tony, congratulations on making the Pro Bowl again.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And thanks a lot for coming on the air with us. Give us back to Jenny so we can finish harassing her.
All right. Here you go.
Thank you, man. Thanks. Bye now.
Hello?
Oh, you're so going down. You know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Jeez. It's so...
Ass up,
facing the pillow. That's what's happening. Yeah.
Tony's playing it super cool, though, which is awesome. I love that. He's just happy-go-lucky.
I'm trying to keep it quiet.
I told Jenny that I want some kind of code. I just want her to text me a number. Just like, okay, so if I get a text that says number 2, I know that's twice now. Okay? Number 5, number 10, however many it works out to be.
Tony, he doesn't get it on. Well, it's not just Tony, too. There's going to be a whole island full of them. So,
okay, yeah. So 20, 30, 40. However high it goes, Jenny.
Strapping men that are going to take Mike's place.
That's what I was thinking, too. I was like, it's not only Tony that I'm worried about. It's that they're going to be at some Pro Bowl dinner or something, some NFL schmoozy doozy deal. And Tony's going to walk up and go, this is my beautiful wife. And this is Jenny, random defensive end guy. And he's going, hello there. Hello there, white girl that's alone.
Yeah. Wow. This is going to be a great week for you, Jenny.
I do have a room, and Toby doesn't mind me filling in for her. You know, she has been kind of tired, you know.
Sure.
That's awesome. Really big of you, Jenny.
I mean, Mike doesn't mind, you know. Toby doesn't mind. It's a win-win.
Mike doesn't mind at all.
No, he says do it whoever you want, whenever you want. Hey, listen, don't do it with Eli, though, because I don't want you to catch any retard.
Yeah, I know. I already signed him off. He's not in my contract.
Okay, good. All right, Jenny, have a great week.
All right, thanks.
Text me a number.
Aloha.
I will.
Bye now.
Okay.
Don't come back, you ingrate bitch.
He probably has already had sex with her in the car this morning.
Yep. You can almost tell by the tone of her voice.
She was giddy. Yeah. Oh, that went well for her.
Look, Ralph announced a few minutes ago that Miss Britney Spears is going to be spending a little additional time in the 5150 ward. 2 extra weeks is what it's looking like she's going to be spending. And you got to wonder, what does Kevin Federline think about everything that's going on with Britney? Is he just, I dodged a bullet. I got out at the right time. I got out with a paycheck for life and I don't have to deal with this hoe.
But we talked on Friday, we talked to the Blender writer who went with the paparazzi, followed Britney everywhere she went.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one little sentence in that entire article that we focused in on, and that's that Kevin Federline's nickname used to be, because of his manliness, Meat Pole.
Oh.
Yeah! That was Kevin Federline's nickname, Meat Pole.
Wow.
So that might be the best nickname ever. And we thought we'd check in with Kevin today and just find out how things are going. Good morning, Kevin.
Yeah, you're right. Good morning, Meat Pole in the head. Yeah. What's
up? Meat Pole. Meat Pole's not even trying. It's not even attempting to have a good nickname.
I can't help it, dog. It's honesty. You know what I'm saying? I'm official like a referee with a whistle. That's just the way it is downstairs, dog.
The article talked about how it was a brief overview of Britney and her career, and it talked about how you guys had a one-night stand and ended up holing up at the Beverly Hills Hotel for 3 days doing nothing but having sex and ordering room service. Those were the good old days, weren't they, K-Fed?
That's right, man. Once, you know, she was like a regular girl before that, and then once she got a taste of the meatball, you know, she realized she was going to be tainted to other men after that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, really? So that's why she's depressed?
Yeah, because once the meatball takes care of you, you know, downstairs you look like a bloodhound or a Sharpay's face or something.
Wrong with you?
Wow.
You
know, God's sake. Like a wizard sleeve, just drooping.
God.
You
know what I'm saying? It's not a weapon.
She needs a wheelbarrow now.
I mean, yeah, I think we get it.
Originally, it was okay. What I'm saying is now...
Don't understand.
It's been hurt.
Yes.
Afterward, gotcha. The article says, you called your brother Chris bragging, you're not going to believe whose back I broke, and continued to brag that you hadn't used condoms. So that was a good start right there.
Bare back, that's how I roll. meat pole.
Jeez.
Now, K-Fed, we've talked to you many different times.
Yeah.
How did you never bring this up before? This is the first time we've heard of that nickname.
Oh, true players, you know, they got to keep it, you know, close to the vest. You know what I'm saying? I let everybody else. I let my boys, let my crew, you know what I'm saying? Let my Aunt Rizzle let you know, because the word has to be spread. The legend has to be spread by my disciples. I can't be going around touting it like myself. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? The magic wand, once you get a hold of it, you'll know. Meat pole.
Yeah, that's what you're famous for, is your discretion, K-Fed. I think that's one thing we can all agree on, is you're not a guy who likes to boast about himself.
Well, listen, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard to be humble sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But don't hate the player, hate the game. That's all there is to it, okay? Because I didn't choose this life.
Meatball,
shut up, bitch.
Now,
you want some meatball?
God, no.
Now, Federlezy, we have a song here. What's this? Is this about...
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, my entourage, it got back to me. You guys wanted to talk to me today.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that you had that writer who wrote that blend of Artist Kizzle.
Yes.
Okay. So I was like, look, they probably want to talk to me about meatball. So I worked up a little song, went to the laboratory with Dark Gable and Black the Ripper. Mm-hmm. I went to the Crunk Factory, and I banged something out, you know what I'm saying, about my life. This is called Meatball.
I said, who's that walking with a pole of meat? Meatball, with his pants on swole. I got 3 legs, bitch, only got 2 feet. Meatball, with his pants on swole.
I'm the Beaver Buster, the cervix destroyer. Call me pro bono, but I ain't no lawyer. Putting coochie in a tomb, always causing doom. Sweeping up wombs with my purple-headed broom. Huge, the Empire State Building. Come and get some if you're ready and willing. One-eyed monster, ready for love. Imagine Kobe Bryant's arm in a boxing glove. That's how big it really is. It's my full-time job. I'm like a chef in Glendale making women kebabs. Stabbing them hoes and letting them know that my zipper ripping size, it ain't no joke. Sang,
who's that walking with a pole of meat? Meatball with his pants on swole.
I got 3 legs, only got 2 feet.
Meatball with his pants on swole.
Knock, knock, who's there? It's the Donkey Kong Dong. I got bad posture from carrying my schlong. My Nubian nuts look like brontosaurus eggs, and they're straddling the monster that lives between my legs. K-Fed, I was blessed at birth with a chocolatey piranha with John Holmes girth. You gotta see it to believe it, bitch, it just ain't right. My molasses-colored missile is ready for flight. That's right, bitch, you know, recognize that. Obama 08, meatball in the house, bitch.
What?
Are you endorsing Barack Obama for president? Is that what's happening here?
I'm saying, gotta have a brother like me in the White House, dog.
You're not a brother, you're
you
white.
You know?
You know what we should do? It just occurred to me, we should play the English version of that. Because then, you know, we could understand the words.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And it'd be cool.
I wonder if they did one. About.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That's the great Modest Mouse. Would you have preferred them on the Super Bowl halftime show?
Yes. You kidding?
I love the mouse. I may have as well, although you're so wrong about Tom Petty. It's the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. They tried something new ahead of the Super Bowl last night, and I don't know what kind of meeting they had where they said, you know what the Super Bowl needs is a red carpet. But that's what they decided to try last night. It's the first time they've ever done anything like this. And this was a red carpet literally to nowhere, by the way. I don't know if you noticed, Kevin, but the red carpet was nowhere near the stadium. It was like a half a mile away from where people were going in to see the game, right?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
So it's not like they were getting out of their cars and walking past the microphone and then heading into the stadium. They had to make a special trip to come there. And they got Ryan Seacrest to host it. And again, I don't know who they're trying to appeal to for this, because it's not like women are going to tune in to see just because it's a red carpet, because everybody's just wearing hoodies and jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, isn't that why girls watch the red carpet? Is they want to see what people are wearing,
definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
Fashion, right? Yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah, that's a lot of it.
I don't know. You know what? I don't know that they had a plan. I think they just wanted to tell everybody 100 different ways. Hey, we got American Idol on our channel. You know that? We got American Idol.
Is there any show that needs to be promoted less on television than the number one show in America?
Apparently,
who already isn't watching American Idol that cares about it?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, Ryan Seacrest was out there doing what he does best, which is suck. And it was, I mean, we literally don't have time to play them all. It was one bad interview after another, but I do have a couple of examples of the work that was going on the red carpet. And by the way, I was willing to be fair. If he did an okay job, I would come on and say he did an okay job, but he didn't. He sucked hard. John Krasinski, terrific actor, plays Jim on The Office, shows up. He's wearing a Patriots baseball cap as he approaches the red carpet for Ryan to interview him.
I don't know. Who do you like, the Giants or the Patriots?
It would be awkward if I was a Giants fan wearing a Patriots hat.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Yeah.
I can barely see. If I get on my tiptoes, I can almost see.
By the way, I loved that he busted him on that.
Yeah,
I
me too.
I love that Krasinski said, essentially, you idiot, I'm wearing Patriots gear and you're asking me the question.
Yeah, born and raised in Boston, so this is it.
You're from that. Okay, so you follow them forever. This is, well, what a season then.
Great follow-up, by the way.
He's good. He's good.
Oh, you're from there. Oh, well then, what a season.
Oh, unbelievable, and it's hopefully going to be even better today.
And Tom Brady, what are your thoughts on this guy? Pretty good, isn't he?
He's all right.
Are you kidding me?
What is that line of questioning?
When he asked that question, I was yelling, what? Tom Brady, pretty good, isn't he?
And Tom Brady, what are your thoughts on this guy? Pretty good, isn't he?
He's all right.
And you can tell poor Jim, who's a very bright guy, you could tell he's just, get me out of here. What fresh hell is this that I have to have this inane conversation with Ryan Seacrest? Mercifully, the interviews were pretty short, at least. How about Lawrence Fishburne? How about him? From The Matrix. They had him on the show last night with Ryan Seacrest.
You, as an actor, know what it's like to work under pressure and media scrutinization. You look at these quarterbacks, the media's all over them. How do you focus on a day like today?
Oh, man.
What? He's an actor. So what must it be like to be Eli Manning today?
He's an actor. He's not a football player. Why would you ask him that? What is wrong with you?
Let's do that one again.
You, as an actor, know what it's like to work under pressure and media scrutinization. You look at these quarterbacks, the media's all over them. How do you focus on a day like today?
Oh, man.
What kind of pressure is he talking about? He doesn't have any idea what it's like to take the field as the quarterback in the Super Bowl.
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
But at least his follow-up for Lawrence Fishburne was this.
How would Morpheus from The Matrix do on that field?
Actually, Morpheus doesn't play football.
How would Morpheus from The Matrix do? Hey, when you were in Apocalypse Now in the boat, how would that guy have done? I mean, what the hell kind of line of questioning is that?
Listen, I don't. Most of the time, because I know what shows he's on, Ryan Seacrest, I can avoid them.
Yeah.
But something like this, where I'm going to watch the Super Bowl and he forces his way in and then asks inane questions like that, come on.
And I don't think he was trying to be funny either. I think he was trying to ask questions that he thought were good. I
mean, of course.
Didn't it seem like that to you?
Of course.
This was his best, the best he had?
But they weren't.
He had no idea who was going to show up and so was just totally off the cuff?
No, there were only...
If he had any clue, he would have prepared.
He only did four or five interviews, I think. I mean,
there weren't that many.
It's not like hundreds came.
The one that really disappointed me the most, and I don't know if this was out of his hands, if he had some pretty strict restrictions about what he was and wasn't allowed to say.
Me too.
Is Roger Goodell, commissioner of the NFL.
Not who I thought you were going to say.
Roger Goodell shows up, and you know, for anyone who's following football right now, he is in the crosshairs of the biggest scandal in NFL history, which is that he destroyed evidence, basically, that Congress is calling him in front of their body to ask why. you know, this goes back to the Patriots videotaping in front of the Rams, the Rams in 2001 ahead of that Super Bowl. And he destroyed the evidence. And now Arlen Specter is calling him there and is going to be a big investigation and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I was just so praying that Pam Oliver or somebody would have a shot at the commissioner to find out what he has to say about that. But God forbid somebody who knows anything about sports does the interview. Instead, it's Ryan Seacrest. And what a question he has for the commissioner of the NFL.
Here we are with the commissioner, Roger Goodell, right now on the red carpet and his entourage. Well, is this your first red carpet walk?
Yes. Okay, that...
Yes,
that is the best.
Is this your first red carpet walk?
Yes, Ryan, because it's the first time that they forced us to have a red carpet at the goddamn Super Bowl, is what I wish his answer had been.
Yes, it is, as a matter of fact.
Well, welcome to our red carpet.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Now, let's talk about the Patriots for a second. If they win this game, how historical will that be?
Shut up! Come on! There's nobody that didn't know they were 18-0 trying to go for a perfect season. How historical would that be?
What kind of answer does he expect? By the way, what can Roger Goodell possibly say?
Well, pretty historical.
Never been done before.
Sure would be historical.
I guess you knew that, huh, Ryan?
I think it'll be terrific. I mean, an achievement of 19-0 is just extraordinary. But I also think the Giants have an opportunity to do something extraordinary also.
I want to get you on the record with a prediction.
We'll have a great game.
Thanks, man. Have fun. Good to see you. Take care. Bye, guys.
You see when he interviewed House?
Oh,
Hugh Laurie? Huh.
Yes.
Hugh Laurie, who said he had never been to a football game in his life. Mm-hmm. Ryan followed that up with, we want a prediction. And then exactly. Hugh Laurie said, from a guy who's never been to a football game, and he kept pressing him. So Hugh Laurie finally just said, Giants.
Here's one more, and I had to save this one for last. This is what our biggest fear was when the announcement came down 4 months ago that Ryan Seacrest was going to be on the red carpet, is that they were going to figure out a way to turn it into a Sunday American Idol.
Yep.
And that's what they did.
There it is! Dance like there's no tomorrow! Paula Abdul, ladies and gentlemen!
Listen to the hype, by the way, just like he is on Kiss FM. How do you sound excited about that piece of crap song?
That song, by the way, blows. That's a horrible song. Yeah.
That song is barely there. It sounds like 1 million other songs, except it's not good enough to make it on the radio. But Ryan is hyping it like it's the biggest thing ever.
Randy Jackson! That is your first single in over a decade. Why'd you want to do that now, Paula?
The timing is right. The timing was right, and it was a great song. And
why is the timing right, by the way?
Because I'm on American Idol.
Because the Super Bowl is on Fox, and Fox is willing to ruin the Super Bowl by forcing American Idol down our goddamn throats.
People have just now started to fall in love with you as the lovable drunk judge. Now don't make them remember that you used to sing.
Working with Randy on his album.
Now, this is off your album. Let's say you're a judge on American Idol right now.
We're both judges on American Idol.
How would you critique that performance?
Paul Abdul is hot. The single is hot. She's back, baby.
She makes it to the next round?
She definitely goes all the way through. She's won. What are you talking about next round?
If you'd like to vote for Paula Abdul, it's 1-866-IDOLS. No, don't call now.
That was it. That was the moment where I said,
oh, no. Oh, yeah. God. Oh, no. No, no, no.
Ew.
Look, I'm the guy who likes American Idol. I watch American Idol, but I don't need American Idol in my Super Bowl. This is not a peanut butter and chocolate thing where they're better together, okay?
Nope.
Stop it is what we have to say. Stop it.
When he was introducing her doing that song, he said, let's make television history.
Oh, for God's sake.
What about that as television history? I don't even understand that.
It's just embarrassing.
Because it's the first time Paula Abdul is...
Oh, dear God, I couldn't have hated Fox more yesterday.
Well, at least it was a four-hour pregame show, and they went back to Ryan, you know, a lot. At least there was a lot of it, and it was bad.
I wanted to take my...
First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday morning. Hey, Ralph.
Before I get to showbiz news, I've got passes to give away to the K-Rock advanced screening of Jumper. Brand new motion picture starring Hayden Christensen, Rachel Bilson, Samuel L. Jackson.
See Samuel L. Jackson Super Bowl last night?
No.
Ryan Seacrest.
Well, if you could jump to any other sporting event in the world, not the Super Bowl, what would your pick be?
Yep.
That's beyond stupid.
If you could jump to any other sporting event.
Who would your character in Black Snake Moan chain up to a couch? Which of the players playing today would you most like to chain to your couch?
I mean, come
on. Play blues guitar to.
Look, everybody makes mistakes. I just want Fox to come out today and say, tried something new, didn't work, gotta move on.
Best part was the pre-show, the ordinary pre-show staff, your Terry Bradshaw.
They hated it.
Hated the idea. Yeah. Did not even try to pretend like it was a good idea.
Yep.
Kurt Menefee just hated throwing to him. They were just miserable with the whole thing.
They should have been.
Terry was like, you got the wrong host. We got the wrong host there.
You're so right about Kurt Menefee, because he made a point of saying every time he threw it to Ryan, it was almost like, okay, this is only going to hurt for a minute, but I promise, then we'll be back and we'll talk about football.
But I did love the hilarious comedy of the New York fans and the Boston fans meeting on the street.
For 10 minutes.
What about your mayor? He's from Boston.
I had to fast forward through that. I couldn't watch that.
But
that
was horrible. I got two words for you, Mookie Wilson. That's but you. Oh, we don't like you. Let's pretend we're in West Side Story now.
Do they have anyone that knows anything about sports running that? Any input whatsoever from somebody who knows sports?
Look, when you got 4 hours to fill, you're scrambling for material.
Do a backstory on every single player in the Super Bowl.
Don't have a four-hour pre-show.
There's a thought.
Bastards. The minute they started dancing in the streets, a la West Side Story with the Boston and New York, I told my wife, I'm going to go take a nap. Wake me up at kickoff.
They started dancing? Really? I thought you were kidding.
No, they started.
No, they really
started
did.
Doing like this, like going like West Side Story, a musical from 50 years ago.
I recognize that as something I didn't want to watch and started fast forwarding because I thought, this is not for me. I'll tell you that. I didn't realize it was that.
It's not park the car. It's park the car. Okay? You Boston fans? Wow. It's horrific. A nightmare. Wow. I got some good news. To make up for that horrible taste I just put in your mouth with
Please.
That sketch from the Super Bowl pregame show. You know, this is my favorite time of year. I talk about it every year, and every year it gets better and better. The
spring training?
No, thank God. Museum of Television and Radio is doing their annual television festival again.
Nice.
It's going to be going on from March the 14th to the 27th. This year it will be held at the Arclight Cinemas in Hollywood.
Great place.
Okay. Great place to see not only a movie, but also all these people you're going to get a chance to meet. If you're a TV fan, this is the event for you. Tickets go on sale today. Okay? You can go to ticketweb.com. That's where they're selling these out of. Ticketweb.com. The premium packages go on sale today. And then if there's any tickets left over, which there won't be because the thing sells out instantly, then you can buy them later on. But all the information are there. But here's the lineup of shows they're going to be talking to this year. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, it's a festival where they talk to some of the best of current and past TV shows. They get the casts together. They show you outtakes or scenes you can't see anyplace else. And then you get to hear the cast and creators of your favorite TV shows interviewed. It's really an amazing night if you're a TV fan. And the lineup this year is pretty spectacular. First of all, Pushing Daisies. One of my favorite shows over there, Kristen Chenoweth. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the cast will all be there, including the creators of that. The comedy world of Judd Apatow and friends. All the people
fantastic.
Judd has worked with on television and in film will be stopping by, and they're going to talk about his entire career.
Fantastic.
The creators and cast of Chuck, one of my favorite
TV
shows. Friday Night Lights, cast and creators of that show.
So good.
Get a chance to see these people before you can't see them on television anymore.
Aww.
Yeah.
You can see them
this festival's
this
called
festival.
Remember when these shows were on?
Yeah.
How about this? And this is pretty cool. A Buffy the Vampire Slayer reunion. The whole cast getting back together again.
No kidding. That's cool.
I can't wait.
Entire cast and Joss Whedon will be there. Everyone will be hanging out. So that's pretty cool.
I love that show.
A night with Dancing with the Stars, Kevin, for you.
Wow.
You can hang out with Tom Bergeron.
No, thank you.
Gossip Girl, the cast and creators of that show will be there as well.
I can't wait for that either.
Damages over there on the FX with Glenn Close.
That's a good show.
Glenn Close, Ted Danson, the entire cast will be there. Dirty Sexy Money is getting its own evening as well. And Mad Men, one of my favorite shows over there on the TMC. Turner Movie Classic Show.
AMC.
American Movie Classic. Forget Turner. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Turner has nothing to do with this.
Anyway, those are some of the nights they're going to have at the festival. It's really an amazing experience, especially if you're a big TV fan and you get to see these people in person. So once again, go to ticketweb.com for all the information. Tickets go on sale today. Buy them because they're going to disappear. But I'll probably have some tickets to give away later in the year as we get closer.
It's a fun night.
It really is a very cool thing to do. All right, let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus concert tour movie, $29 million in its debut weekend.
Wow.
It was on like two theaters. It was like one, I think, somewhere in Reseda, and then another one somewhere in Palm
Springs.
They're
stacked four high?
I think, yeah. People were just standing on each other's shoulders watching the show. It was nuts.
Well, what's weird is that there are lots of sold-out concert tours, but they can't, most of them, you know, they sell out all their tickets, whoever you're talking about, the White Stripes or Bruce Springsteen, whoever it is, they sell out all their tickets, that they can't then make a movie and expect people to show up for it. But these Hannah Montana kids are so rabid, they'll go see anything.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
It's the beauty of children. If you can tap into their mania, their crazy little...
Yep.
Obsessive mania, nuttiness. You can make a mint. I got to create something kids like.
I don't know that you have that capability.
Some kind of drug or something. I got to just tap into their newly formed cerebral cortexes somehow and find
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
To make a buck off. Talk to Rodney. See what the kid's like.
He's got plans.
Who knows? The Eye was number two at the box office. $13 million in its debut weekend. Then 27 Dresses. Juno.
You know?
Just one of you pick. Just pick one of you to do it. It's bad enough. Just one of you does it. Meet the Spartans was number five. Rambo was six. The Bucket List was seven. Untraceable, Cloverfield, and There Will Be Blood rounding out the top 10 at the box office this week. And believe it or not, there may be light at the end of the tunnel for the writer's strike.
Oh, please tell me this is true.
A breakthrough was made on Friday regarding the issue of internet streaming and how much money the writers will get for each download. Generating what they're calling cautious optimism in the writers' camp that the three-month-old writers' strike may soon be ending.
I was thinking yesterday watching Ryan Seacrest on the red carpet that that's going to be what's going to get the writers' strike over, because people will be at home watching that going, oh my God, we have got to get some writers.
Yep.
A well-placed insider with the Writers Guild said it's not a done deal by any means, but Friday was a very good day. So apparently there's just a slight difference on each side now in terms of the agreement, but... they're saying maybe they could have a tentative agreement as early as sometime this week.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Wow, that would be good.
So that's pretty good news.
Ralph, how long would it take from startup to get some of our shows back on the air, though? I mean, it's
7 years
months out, right?
This season's almost a write-off.
Even the fall?
It would be hard-pressed to get everything back geared up into production in order to have new television.
So a year from now.
There's that possibility.
Wow.
Also some good news. AFTRA, the American Federation of Radio and Television Artists, has already put plans in motion to sit down with the producers in March, even though their contract isn't up until the summertime.
Well, that's not how it works.
They want to get negotiations up and running and over with before their deal runs out, so there won't be any stoppage in work on their behalf.
Hmm.
SAG, in the meanwhile, has not yet made any decisions along those lines, but hopefully this is the beginning of everyone getting new deals and we won't have any more stoppages in work for television or film. We could all go back to sitting on our couches, eating food.
Getting fat.
Not talking to each other. The way it should be. Today's celebrity birthday is Natalie Imbruglia. She's 33 years old today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rick Burch from Jimmy Eat World turns 33. Oscar De La Hoya is 35 years old today. Alice Cooper, legendary rock performer who was in a Super Bowl commercial last night. He was like a deer in the headlights. Almost got hit. Him and his snake. He's 60 years old. And Conrad Bain.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
He played the creepy Mr. Drummond on Different Strokes. Just always patting those black kids on the back and tucking them in at night. And
there was some subtext there.
Single guy. Kind of creepy. Never knew what happened to his wife. Had no real interest in his daughter. It was all very, very strange.
Let's all keep it funky now.
I'm trying. He's 85 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 13 minutes after 7 o'clock.
No, man. Say it like you're announcing the Grammys. Let me hear you talk about Everlast like you're on the Grammys.
I'm not announcing the Grammys.
The 50th Annual Grammy Awards are happening this Sunday night. They'll be airing on CBS. But, you know, as Kevin pointed out earlier, this is not one of these events that comes along that you can buy tickets for. This is an insider-only deal. And that's why it's cool that we have a pair of tickets for you every day this week during the Kevin and Bean Show between 7 and 8 o'clock, including right now. If you want to win your Grammy tickets, it's time to play the Grammy edition of Lick Lisa.
Can you lick Lisa? I think you'll find it's hard. But if you do lick Lisa,
yep,
something hot's waiting for you.
Lick, lick Lisa, 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 but keep clear of her vagina.
Creep me.
Oh, stop.
Stop it. Lisa,
no, I take that back.
On.
I take that back.
Performing this year, you got Beyonce.
Nice.
Yes.
Foo Fighters are performing.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
With special guest conductor John Paul Jones. And they have contest winners that are going to be on stage with them playing.
Oh, no kidding. Mm-hmm.
Carrie Underwood's going to be performing. Aretha Franklin. Mary J. Blige.
Aretha, sorry. Aretha, right.
Rihanna's going to be on stage. Oh. Come on.
Yeah, there's not a lot of K-Rock bands, as usual, at the Grammys this year. Our form of music is sadly underrepresented, but it's still a great time and lots of stars to look at, and that's why we're excited to give you tickets. Now, Lisa, who's going to be doing the licking here this morning?
Well, of course, Beer Mug.
Beer Mug, yes.
Intern Beer Mug. Yes. Fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, guys.
He's the one who helped us track down the Phantom Pooper.
That's
remember
right.
That?
With my tongue. You don't want his tongue on you then.
Yeah,
that's correct.
All right, here's the way the game is played, if I remember. It's been a while since we played it. We're going to ask a question. The answer is always going to be a number. Lisa will give her guess first, and then all you, the caller, have to do is tell us whether you think the right answer is higher, lower, or if Lisa hit it right on. And if you're right, you go into the drawing to win the Grammy tickets that we'll do at the end of the segment. And, of course, Beer Mug will get to lick Lisa. Do I have that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, fantastic.
Begin with Andy in Norwalk. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
We are good. Are you ready for the Grammy edition of Lick Lisa?
Heck yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right, listen up. Here's question number one. Milli Vanilli, of course, became the first artist to be stripped of their Best New Artist Grammy when it was discovered that they did not perform their vocals on their album. Now, this year, Paramore is a nominee for Best New Artist. They retail a pair of their Riot Edition fingerless gloves on their website for how many dollars? How much are the fingerless gloves?
Paramore website.
$14.99.
$14.99. All right, Andy, you have to tell us if it's higher than that, lower than that, or if she's right on.
I say higher.
I say
that's good. That was Mike's first participation right there.
I just asked you to ding and buzz when they're right, okay, or wrong. Just do the right one.
I was wrong, and I buzzed. I'm sorry, fat fingers. I hit the ding by accident.
I'm sorry, that's the actual answer is lower. They're $12 is how much the fingerless gloves are. You did not win. You do not. Beer Mug does not lick Lisa. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
What a bargain, though, for those, huh?
Well, I thought about Dave, and he's, you know, he didn't have any money. Exactly. So he has those. It could be a lot.
You should have shot lower. Randy in La Puente. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How you doing?
Hi, Randy. Good.
All right, listen up. Here's question number two. Record of the year nominee.
What?
You got to wait, Mike. You got to wait until he gives the answer.
Yeah.
Record of the year nominee Amy Winehouse and her beehive have finally said yes, yes, yes to rehab. Of course, Utah is known as the beehive state. What percentage of people in Utah claim Mormon membership, Lisa?
I got to tell you, for where those questions start to where they end, I want whatever assistant producer Alex is smoking.
I know. She does a nice job.
I know what she's smoking.
All right. What percentage claim Mormon membership?
I'm going to say 40%.
40%. Is the answer higher, lower, or is that exactly right, Randy?
40%. I'm going to say higher.
Higher is correct.
I'm going to say you're right. Yeah, 61% claim that they're Mormons.
I guess I got to get
licked. You got to get licked by
yes,
a beer mug.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a state that Mitt Romney may even win, by the way.
Make it count, dude. Make it count. Pulling her hair away and licking her neck.
Oh, yes. He's a nice, gentle man.
Oh, all right.
Tasty.
Fatima in Reseda.
Hello. Good morning.
Welcome to Lick Lisa.
All right, here's your question. The Grammy Awards is spending its 50th year this Sunday at Staples Center. Of course, Staples Center is home to the Los Angeles Kings, Los Angeles Lakers, and, of course, our Los Angeles Sparks. What was center Lisa Leslie's 2006 season free throw percentage?
What percentage free throws did she shoot in the 2006 series?
35%.
35%, which is incredibly low.
Doesn't make her a pro, does it?
Fatima.
No idea.
Higher, lower, or the same?
Higher.
Higher's great.
Yeah, 69%, which I think is why Alex thought you might know that one, Lisa. I'm sorry. Congratulations. You're in the drawing for the Grammy tickets. Beer Mug gets to lick Lisa.
Darn.
He's going for the other side now.
Other side of the neck.
Nice.
Okay, good.
I might be bad at the rest of this game.
By the way, 69% is horrible free throw shooting,
it's
just for the record.
Terrible, yeah.
Yeah, it is bad. Shane in Redlands, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Shane.
Hello. All right, here's your question, Shane. Listen up. Hey There, Delilah has been nominated for Song of the Year and Best Pop Performance by a Group. Plain White Tees, of course, sing that song. The Plain White Tee retailer giant American Apparel has how many stores in the U.S.?
How many American Apparel stores in the U.S., Lisa?
Seems like you see them everywhere, but...
Is that a hint?
Nope, not a hint at all.
500.
500. All right, is it a real answer higher, lower, or is it exactly right, Shane?
I'd say lower.
Lower is correct.
Yes, it is. 180 stores is how many.
Well, then you don't see them everywhere.
No, but Bean gave you some false information.
I do. I see a lot of American Apparel stores, but it's a big, big country. Wow, now he's really going for it.
Wow, beer mug.
Is his tongue in her mouth? Where's his
tongue? No. He bent her head back so
he
she was looking up
did.
At and then licked pretty much at her cleavage.
So I may be in love.
That was beautiful. Sweet. All right, let's go to Tish in Compton. Good morning, Tish.
Morning.
You ready for your question?
Yes, I am.
All right.
All right, again, we're playing for Grammy tickets for this Sunday. Dave Grohl, our hero, the man, the myth, the legend, and a 5-time Grammy nominee this year, starred with Jack Black in Tenacious D, The Pick of Destiny. Jack Black, of course, also starred in the King Kong movie, for which Kevin cried. Here's your question. How tall was King Kong, the 8th wonder of the world?
How tall, Lisa?
Let's see.
King Kong.
In feet?
Yep.
Because now I have to do it some division.
Oh, sure, yeah. You don't know. Just guess.
200 feet.
200 feet. Is the real answer higher, lower, or the same, Tish?
Lower.
Little bit.
Oh, you were so close. 25 feet was the answer we were looking for.
A little bit.
You're so close. Right, yes.
Wow. All right, Beer, where are you going?
Well, Lisa hasn't given me much to work with, but so I'm going to probably do the same
spot. Oh, he's going back for
I don't think
more.
I would ever change that one, by the way.
That's right in the cleavage. Yeah, she is wearing long sleeves today and long pants.
I know.
All right, we do have time for one more question. Who's our final contestant to try to lick Lisa for Grammy tickets?
That would be Adrian in Mentone.
What up, Lisa May?
Hello.
The hell's Mentone?
We've had Mentone callers before.
Oh, right.
Up to 38.
Nope, doesn't exist. Sorry.
All right, Adrian, listen up. Here's your question. It's in the Hail Xenu division of the Grammy questions this morning. Our friend Beck scored a Best Rock Performance nomination for his track called Time Bomb. Of course, Beck is married to actress Marissa Ribisi. She is the sister of actor Giovanni Ribisi. Here's your question.
I'm already confused.
To date, how many episodes of My Name is Earl?
What?
Has Giovanni Ribisi guest starred on as Earl's childhood friend Ralph?
What?
How many episodes of My Name is Earl has Giovanni Ribisi guest starred on as Earl's childhood friend Ralph? Because his
By the way,
sister,
he's great on that show.
He is great. Yeah. His sister is married to Beck. That's the connection, Kevin, if you got lost along the way.
I did.
15.
And he's always in his underwear. All right. We don't have the answer here, so Bean, you're going to have to ding her buzz.
All right. 15 is what Lisa says. What do you think there, Adrian?
I say, is it lower?
It is lower, yes. In fact, 4 episodes is all it is.
That's
so
it.
Congratulations. You're in the drawing, and Beer Mug gets to lick
One
Lisa.
More time.
One more time. He goes
I'm
back.
Thinking same place.
All right.
I got carried away.
And by all right, Lisa means more. That's what she's talking about. All right. The grand prize winner is Shane from Redlands. Shane, congratulations.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank
you are going to the Grammy Awards.
Oh, this is awesome.
And
I can't wait.
Thank you for playing Lick Lisa.
Lick, lick Lisa. Lick, lick Lisa. But keep clear of her vagina.
First, it's time for K-Rock's World Tour 2008, destination number 5. And this is a great one. This is every time we make these calls, we go, oh, sure, I'd like to go to that.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
That sure would be cool. I don't know if you've ever seen Muse live, but Muse is a great live band.
Yeah.
And you watch those guys and you go, it sounds like there's 100 people on stage. How's all that noise coming out of those few people? It's a great band, and we're going to send you to see them in South Africa.
Dude. Oh. Shut up.
How about that? Psycho Mike would stop turning the pages. I'd have a little info, but I don't. He's just looking
I can tell you what
Thank
it is.
You.
It is the My Coke Festival at the Kenilworth Racecourse in Cape Town, South Africa. This festival, by the way, doesn't just feature the great band Muse, but Chris Cornell is on it, Kaiser Chiefs, Korn, a bunch of other bands are playing. And here's the way it's going to work. All this week here on K-Rock, you'll qualify by winning the Muse CD catalog. And then Friday morning, we hook you up with the grand prize. We do the drawing at this time Friday morning to send you to Muse in Cape Town, South Africa. Here's more info for you.
Hey there, how's it going? My name's Matt.
My name's Dominic.
Yeah, we play a band called Muse. This smells like K-Rock in here.
It sure does, guys. Let's see where we're sending you this week. K-Rock World Tour 2008. Anywhere is possible. Anywhere is possible. Destination 5, Muse, in South Africa. Listen all week and win a Muse CD catalog from Warner Brothers. One name will be drawn Friday morning to see Muse in South Africa.
keep listening to Win.
On the world famous K Rock.
Made possible by the movie Jumper. Opening in theaters everywhere February 14th. Anywhere is possible.
You know what?
The Giants have won the Super Bowl.
I feel kind of bad for Eli Manning because, like with all retards, he's so happy all the time that I don't think he realizes what a big deal what he did was yesterday.
He doesn't understand that no one expected them to win?
Right, but I'm just saying, for him, it's just another happy day where he just wakes up with his mouth open.
The New York Giants beat the New England Patriots yesterday in the Super Bowl, and I was so happy because I'm not a big fan of the Patriots, really. And Eli Manning, we've been talking to on and off for the last week or two, and he seems pretty cool. Before we go to him, though, I want to quickly play the interview that happened before the game in the pre-show. This is Terry Bradshaw talking to Eli Manning's father about Eli's slow maturation.
Eli, he was a kid that he was a slow mm-hmm. reader, mm-hmm. kind of slow out of the box.
I got a grandson right now that my youngest grandson is 2. And he's not talking yet. Mm-hmm. They said, "Don't worry about it." Eli was 3 before he talked.
That's right. That's right.
That's what we've been saying.
He's a slow learner, and that's why we say he looks like a 7th grade retard.
And once he learns to read, man, look out. That kid is going to be dangerous. Well, here he is, the quarterback of the Super Bowl-winning New York Giants, on the phone one more time on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Eli.
I'm Eli.
Yes, you are.
Yay!
Congratulations, Eli.
Hi,
congratulations.
I'm Eli.
Right.
I won a car.
You did win a car. Yeah. That's true.
There was a raffle and I won a car.
It wasn't a raffle. Nope. It was for the MVP.
Yay, I won a car.
Okay.
You get the new Cadillac because you're the most valuable player of the players at the Super Bowl is what happened.
I won it.
Yes, you did.
Guess how many jelly beans in a jar.
It wasn't. It was for the most valuable player of the Super Bowl.
One.
That wasn't what happened.
Eli, I won a car.
You did win a car.
I won a Cadillac Hyman.
Hybrid.
It's a Hyman.
Hybrid.
Yes.
Okay.
I won.
Yes, you did. You won the Super Bowl, though, more importantly, Eli.
Yeah, everybody get the trophy.
I don't know, Pop Warner,
just for trying.
No, nope. I don't know. Nope. There's just the one trophy that you get. Not everybody gets to keep it.
I won a Super Bowl.
You did. You won the Super Bowl. And you were the MVP the year after your brother was the MVP and won the Super Bowl. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Peyton is my bitch.
I thought mommy said don't hurt him.
I can call him a B word.
Okay.
Okay. Bitch.
So, Eli, what was going through your mind when you realized, hey, there's 4 minutes left and we're down to the unbeaten New England Patriots. Now it's time to make a miracle happen. I mean, did you have any doubts that you were going to be able to make that huge run down the field and score?
What?
At the end of the game, were you worried?
No, Uncle Tom said, pointed and said, throw the ball.
Okay.
And a black guy caught it.
He did, yes.
One of the black boys caught it. And next thing.
It was Plaxico Burress, I believe.
Paper in the air. Little pieces of paper were in the air.
Right, there was confetti after the game was over, that's right.
Yeah, and I won a car.
You did win a car, yes.
Eli, what did you think when...
I threw the ball.
Yes.
You did throw the ball.
I did. Black guy caught it.
He did, yes.
We got all that. Right,
yay!
That's true. What about all that confusion? I've never seen this happen before where people started streaming onto the field and Coach Belichick and the Patriots left the field before the game was even over. There was 1 second on the clock. They had to clear everybody so you could take a knee. What were you thinking during all that?
What? We won a Super Bowl.
Yes, you won the Super Bowl.
Who do we play next?
Well, you're done. You're finished. You get to go to Hawaii now and play in the Pro Bowl.
What do you mean we're done?
Well, that's the end of the season. The Super Bowl is the end of the season.
I mean, no.
Yeah, it's a championship. It's the last game that counts.
The Pro Bowl's coming. Nobody cares about that.
I want to play more.
Right, you can next season.
Next year.
No, I want to play now.
Pop Warner?
I want to play.
Oh, Eli.
I want to play.
Oh, this is just sad now.
Well, oh, look, I found a nickel.
Rob's got the showbiz beat for a Monday morning.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I do have a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Jumper. New motion picture. Looks pretty awesome, by the way. Hayden Christensen plays a dude who can just think about going someplace else and then just transports himself.
That'd be cool.
How great a gift would that be to have?
The best.
Just go to the Super Bowl, watch the game, come back home.
No parking.
Go to Vegas, play some blackjack, come back home. The greatest thing.
And it'd be good if you didn't have somebody, Samuel L. Jackson, chasing you, trying to kill you.
Trying to throw a grappling hook into your chest. That's bad news. Rachel Bilson plays his smoking hot girlfriend. Looks pretty cool. So if you'd like to go to an advanced screening and see it for anybody else, we've got one on Tuesday, February 12th at Mann's Chinese Theater. I guess it's Grauman's Chinese Theater again. Hollywood and Highland. It's pretty cool. If you'd like a pair of passes, right now I'm giving away one pair. Call 1-800-520-1067. The 12th caller, since it's on February the 12th, gets a pair of passes. I mentioned this earlier. I'm getting a lot of emails. People's missed it, and they want to hear about it again really quickly. The Museum of Television and Radio, which has now, I found out, changed their name to the Paley Center.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Paley Center for Media, formerly the Museum of Television and Radio. It's the same deal. They're having a thing at the Arclight Cinemas in Hollywood where you get to meet some of your favorite casts and creators of some of the best TV shows ever, past and present. Here is the list once again in case your favorite TV show is on it. An evening will be dedicated to each of these TV shows. Pushing Daisies, the comedy world of Judd Apatow and friends. That's his film and TV work. Chuck, Friday Night Lights, a Buffy the Vampire Slayer reunion, which cool. is pretty cool, with Joss Whedon in the cast. Dancing with the Stars.
Less cool.
Who are they going to bring on for that? Like that Bruno dude? And
yeah, I don't know who they are.
Gossip Girl, Damages, Dirty Sexy Money. Tracy Ullman's got a new TV show. They're going to debut it at this festival called State of the Union. And Mad Men, one of my favorite TV shows. So you can check out all that information. If you'd like to buy tickets, you can go to ticketweb.com, look under Paley Center, or go to paleycenter.org for more information.
Just spell Paley. P-A-L-E-Y?
P-A-L-E-Y,
that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paleycenter.org is the new site. And I'm telling you, these things sell out mediamente. So take a look.
Mediamente, Mike?
I think that's immediately.
Javier Bardem, what does that mean?
It means sunflower seeds.
Okay. All right. Mr. Mayor? looks like there may be an end in sight to this horrible writer's strike we've all been enduring for the past 3 months. Friday, there was a breakthrough session, people close to the Writers Guild are saying, about the issue of internet streaming, which has been a key point the two have been debating over for some time. Things look so good that some insiders are speculating a deal could be in place and maybe put up to a vote as early as sometime this week.
Oh, that would be great.
That would be good news. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, shall we? Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus concert tour movie, made $30 million.
What?
It's just crazy money. You know, she's just a chick who wears a wig, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that's what she is. She just sings goofy pop songs.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
And I'm sure you would. The Eye was number 2 at the box office with $13 million. 27 dresses. I saw 21. This is the sequel, 27 dresses.
Sure.
She buys 6 more dresses in this one. Was number 3. Juno was number 4.
Juno!
Lisa.
Come on, Lisa.
Juno!
Thank you.
I think Lisa do it by herself from now on.
All right, Lisa, all right. You are now the...
Lisa,
right,
it's yours.
It's all yours.
I take it on.
Every time.
Juno was number 4. Meet the Spartans was number 5. Rambo came in at number 6.
Rambo?
No.
Oh.
Nope.
Then the bucket list, Untraceable, Cloverfield, and There Will Be Blood.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it!
That's a new catchphrase, by the way.
I drink your milkshake.
Yeah, that's sweeping the nation.
Really?
According to the USA Today, that line from There Will Be Blood is sweeping the nation.
Why?
I have no idea. I drink your milkshake.
I don't even remember that line.
Remember
that?
I don't either.
I don't know what that means.
What was the scene, Ralph?
He's coming down on that guy. What's the dude's name? He plays his competitor.
Eli?
And he says, I drink your milkshake. I drink it!
I don't know what that means.
It's like, you'll put
that. Oh, was this
like
when he was like,
I take your life. Like, yeah.
Oh.
Like in your face?
Yes. Like you got served. It's, you got served at the 1800s in the oil field.
Oh, I see.
That's what it is.
All right.
I drink your milkshake.
I drink your milkshake. I like that.
I'm using it forever. I drink your milkshake. I drink it.
Something Mr. T would say, though. I don't know.
Pam Anderson is heading to France.
Yes.
To appear for 2 nights on stage at the infamous Crazy Horse Strip Club there in Paris.
Oh.
That's what I'm
talking about.
She will
perform February 13th and 14th, and she'll be doing a strip tease on a Harley Davidson motorcycle. This is it. This is the beginning, folks. This
it is.
This is what we've
the
all
beginning
been
of the porn career.
First, she was a magician's assistant in Vegas. Now she's going to start to strip abroad. Soon she'll be stripping at the Spearmint Rhino in Pacoima. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, she'll be playing a turkey in a Thanksgiving
party. Really? Oh, that's
she'll be
was.
Drinking a milkshake is what she'll be doing.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it.
Drink your milkshake.
I do drink your milkshake. Oh, sad news. Things keep getting worse for Lily Allen. She's one of my favorites. I think she's just adorable. And I love her CD.
She's an amazing singer.
She had a miscarriage a couple weeks ago. She lost her baby early in her pregnancy, and then things went from bad to worse. According to the Sun newspaper out of the UK, just weeks after suffering the miscarriage, Lily and her boyfriend Ed Simmons have separated.
That's not funny.
Nope. She's 22, he's 37. They try to make things work, said a friend close to the couple, but the miscarriage was a horrible experience for both of them. And in recent weeks, the mood between them has been really strained, and so they think it's best if they go separate ways. I bet that's a devastating effect on a relationship when you go through something like that. So I can see the fact that things are tough, so we hope things get better for her real soon. And really quickly, congratulations to my pal Catherine McPhee.
Because
she got married this weekend to her boyfriend, Nick Kokas. She is 23 years old. He is 42. Well done, sir, I say to you. I drink your milkshake. I drink it.
Would you say he drinks her milkshake?
I'm hoping that's part of the...
You should.
Better be part of the deal.
The nuptial celebrations.
You were not invited, Ralph?
I was not invited. However, Kelly Pickler was.
Why?
Okay.
And Mandisa. Mandisa. She was invited as well.
An African tribal
she
leader.
She was. She's an American Idol contestant.
No, she's not.
She's now.
Mandisa. Got time for a quick email?
Sure.
Before I get out of here? I got this email today, and I have to take responsibility for what it says. I think they have a point.
Okay.
And I feel bad, but I think it's worth talking
about. Is this an apology?
It's not an apology. It's an accusation, I think, directed towards me. Well, to all of us, really, but I think it's appropriate. Ralph, with Super Tuesday almost upon us, I'm shocked and dismayed by the lack of political discourse happening of a morning show that purports to be cutting edge.
Oh, yeah, that's what people come to us for.
We have not had much political conversation on this show.
No.
Hate politics.
I will cop to that. As a semi-intelligent radio personality, by the way, I take umbrage to the semi.
Yeah, no kidding. Not even that, right?
That's right. Yeah. I would be interested to hear your take on the candidates from both parties, perhaps even an endorsement.
Really?
Why would you come to us for an endorsement?
What's wrong with these people?
Not to sway your decision, but I am a freelance political journalist and recently had the opportunity to interview Mr. Barack Obama.
Okay.
I must say I was looking forward to hearing his vision for the future of America. However, when I arrived at a recent Obama rally, I found him hard to pin down. In fact, hard to find, despite the fact that I had an appointment with the man.
What?
I had to ask several of his campaign workers as to his whereabouts, and it turned out he was just running late at a speaking engagement and had yet to leave the stage. As one campaign assistant put it, Barack be on the dais.
That was all a setup. That was all a...
Barack be on the dais. Yay!
On the dais, on the dais. On the dais, on the dais, on the dais. On the dais, on the dais, on the dais. On the dais. Oh, 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 on the dais. Barack be on the dais.
That's not funny.
Barack be on the dais. Said one of his assistants.
Yeah,
I think it was Mandisa.
By the way, if you're undecided about who to vote for, go to thedrudgereport.com today and see the photograph of the next president of the United States, Senator John McCain of Arizona. When you see that picture, you'll say, "I must vote for that man."
Yeah, he looks like he's the devil himself.
Trust me on that. It's awesome.
Is he wearing a funny hat or something?
Fire coming out of his eyes.
Just the look on his, he's so angry.
Oh, he's crazy. He's crazy.
He's going to kill someone with his hands.
He was in the Hilton.
I know.
He's crazy.
He was. He does not need his finger on the button, man. He doesn't need any of that nonsense. He'd take you down with his bare hands.
Today's celebrity birthday is Natalie Imbruglia. 33 years old today. Rick Birch, Jimmy Eat World's bassist. He is 33 years old today. Oscar De La Hoya is 35. Alice Cooper, legendary singer. And
she's good.
Dude with a snake. It's a guy.
No.
60 years. You know what he spends a lot of his time doing now?
Yep.
Golfing.
Yep.
That's all he does is golf.
That's what he does.
That's how he strikes you.
He was like the Ozzy Osbourne of his time. Black makeup and snakes and Satan. Welcome to my nightmare. Blah. And I was like trying to get a bogey.
Four.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
The centerpiece of his act, Ralph, maybe you remember, is he used to perform had a guillotine on stage.
Yes.
He used to like knock chop his head off on stage. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now he's golfing. Gay.
It's pretty gay.
His name's Alice. What do you want? And Conrad Bain.
Yeah.
Creepy dude from Different Strokes who used to molest black kids in his house.
Was that not true?
I don't know. I never watched the show, but it looked like that from where I was standing.
No, he was a good guy. He was taking them in, giving them better circumstances.
Yeah, he was taking them in, all right. You know what he's doing?
He's drinking their milkshake.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
I bet you would, Rodney. Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Again, 1 second is remaining on the scoreboard. Bill Belichick is leaving the field. And nobody from New England right now is out on the field. Just the Giants offense. Now a couple of defensive players trickle on. The official word from the NFL is a play has to be run. But it appears it will be run with Bill Belichick up the tunnel.
Yes.
Classy. Up his tunnel. Right up his tunnel, I'd
That's
say.
Classy.
Piece of
Was
crap.
Was he trying to convince himself that he hadn't really lost if he didn't see it with his own eyes, if he could get off the field and put his fingers in his ears and close his eyes and go, no, 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 that it wouldn't happen?
I
He's
hope.
Throwing a hissy fit.
I hope that's
He's
true.
He's stamping his feet. Oh, we didn't win. I'm going to walk off the field. Him and that bitch Tom Brady, too.
Former sports guy Matt Money Smith. Good morning.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
How great was that Super Bowl?
Probably the best in 10 years. I was trying to think back to the last time, you know, we had one that good, and I think it was probably Broncos-Packers back in 98, right?
I think 1985 was the last time it was one that good, Money.
Well, that game was spectacular.
It's the Bears.
The preliminary overnight ratings are starting to trickle in, and these are no way near official, but they're saying maybe the most watched Super Bowl of all time.
Well, you would assume so, you know, because I do all that work over at the NFL, I get to see a lot of that stuff, and I mm-hmm. know that the Colts-Patriots game was, I believe, the most watched regular season game in history. Mm-hmm. So I would assume, you know, as they continued their path to perfection, the cliche they gave it, the name they gave it, you know, would make sense.
Hey, Money, let me hear your NFL announcer voice.
But you know what? They actually pulled back a little bit. It was originally like Harry Callis. This afternoon, the New England Patriots had an opportunity.
Right,
to go
that's
down
what the that's what the old guy sounded like.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. But now they want me to sound—I don't know—I guess a little hipper or something. You know, NFL's got to catch up with the kids.
Sure. So they pick you.
Yeah, so they decided to pick me and my big voice.
Now I know you and Petrus have been talking about this upcoming Super Bowl for some time on your popular afternoon radio show. What was your prediction as to what would happen yesterday, Manny?
I predicted that the Patriots would probably force Eli into a couple quick turnovers, throw the Giants off completely, and blow them out.
And what happened exactly then?
I think it was very similar to that.
Just the opposite.
is that I was on MySpace.com/Super Bowl ads, yes. So I didn't get a chance to see a lot of the ads.
Sure, yeah.
I was at GoDaddy.com, too, looking at Danica Patrick taking off her top. I didn't see the game.
You know, that's what I was doing.
So you, like many other people, were surprised at the outcome then?
Very much so. You know what? As you follow the Giants through the season, followed Eli's career, you know, we just kept waiting. I know you guys obviously had a lot of fun with Eli. It's very easy. By the way, he's into antiques. Are you aware of that?
No!
Hobby is shopping for antiques.
No!
Yeah, that's your Super Bowl champion quarterback. Tom Brady impregnates hot chicks and leaves them for dead. And your new Super Bowl champ likes to shop for antiques with his fiance.
He's going antiquing.
Yeah. Well, not antiquing like throwing flour at dudes when they're sleeping, but we were all just kind of waiting for Eli to completely fall apart.
Yeah. Of course.
And it just never happened.
And he didn't. And also, the Giants got to Brady like no one I've seen this year.
Their defense was insane.
They kept rushing him and hitting him and rushing him, and no one's been able to do that.
Yeah, that team may have not been that dominant because Strahan technically was retired at the beginning of the year.
That's true.
And he decided, you know what, I'm going to give it one more go. And then they started real slow, and everyone was, you know, saying they got to fire their coach, and Strahan's a bum. He came back for money. And then, you know, next thing you know, they turned it around and ended up being here. That you got that cliche, you got to be hot at the right time. And
yep.
This was by far the team the best football going into the playoffs.
Now, speaking of burn, though, who's burned more than Tiki Barber right now?
Nobody. Nobody, as a matter of fact. And Peter King from Sports Illustrated did a column last week because he works with him on, you know, Football Night in America on NBC and on NFL on HBO and all that. And he said that Tiki's legitimately happy. You know, he prefaced it with this giant 7-paragraph, you know, under the pretext of, you know, understand that I work with him and he's my friend and you may not believe me when I say, but he's really happy.
Sure he is.
Is he really? He basically said Eli was retarded.
Right.
Tom Coughlin was a giant a-hole, and now they're, you know, that they've arguably pulled off the biggest upset in the history of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he threw the whole team under the bus, said that's why he was leaving football, basically, was Tom Coughlin and that team, and then they win the Super Bowl.
That's awesome.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Hey, this is Matt Money Smith on the phone, former sports guy. Of course, now you can hear him afternoons at AM 570. We need you to settle a debate for us that we're having off the air mostly here today, Money, and that is, are you happy for or sad for the 72 Miami Dolphins today?
Oh, hate the 72 Dolphins. They can die.
Yeah,
they will. Mean, they will soon.
I'm so tired of them. You know, and Mercury Morris, which, by the way, is one of the greatest football names of
it
all time.
It is a great football name, yeah.
Mercury Morris, I mean, does he understand the Patriots would kick him square in the junk if they actually played them? Suggesting that that 72 Dolphins beat this Patriots squad is just asinine.
Yeah.
You know, this is the problem, is I think people get confused with the way they should measure teams in history. Instead of saying it's the greatest team in history, all you have to do is say it's the greatest accomplishment in history. In the history of the NFL, there has been no greater accomplishment than the Miami Dolphins, you know, finishing 17-0.
Yeah, I guess that's not arguable.
Right. That yes, you're right. That is the great. But to start trying, you know, to start saying, well, we would have beat those 80s Niners and the 90s Cowboys and the 2000s. No, you wouldn't have. Your old men who are about 5'5 and 160 pounds, you would not have beat them.
But it's interesting, and I'm sure you saw this interview yesterday, too. They were catching up with some of the old-timers from that Dolphins team, and they were openly saying, I'm rooting against the Patriots because, essentially, I mean, this is what I'm reading into it, because I'm selfish and want all the attention on myself for our team from 35 years ago, rather than, hey, it's great for the game and it's great for history and I love seeing other people happy and blah, 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 blah. I mean, they seem to have a pretty crappy, unmagnanimous attitude, I think.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people hate them.
Yeah.
And you know what? In their defense, the second it had the Patriots on, the second that final, the final second ticks off that clock, they become irrelevant. Because 17-0 is not 19-0, and it's not 19-0 in the free agency period with 30 teams and, you know, and schemes that you know, they could never imagine. They ran six plays back then. You know, now it's, you know, Tom Brady's got three pages of plays on his arm.
He does.
Right.
He's got the whole paragraph and a half.
My point, Matt, was the fact that these guys never get any respect unless someone's talking about someone knocking on the door of their record. They're never mentioned in one of the great teams when you're talking about that conversation. And I think these guys are kind of chapped about the fact that no one ever thinks of them as a really good team. And so this is all they have, and they're kind of holding on to it with their fingernails.
Yeah, no, I totally can see that, Ralph. I think the one thing is like Bean said, it's how they go about it. And you know, popping champagne when teams lose games, you know, that they always have this camera set. I think to me, they play into that. You know,
they have
a camera set up and they stand there in their ugly ass, you know, blue blazers with gold buttons and pop cooked champagne and celebrate a loss. But, you know, nobody wants to see that. That just kind of makes them out to be giant a-holes.
Especially when you got guys on the other side like Terry Bradshaw, who says, look, and he said this on the show yesterday, I want Roethlisberger to break every record I ever had playing for the Steelers because I love that team and I'm happy for them. I mean, it's not going to take anything away from
him. He's got four Super Bowl rings.
Right, but it's not going to take...
He's got more on his behalf that he can live with. He doesn't have to worry so much about the records because he has so many accolades, so much praise heaped upon him. He doesn't have to worry about the little stuff.
But he's also not being a bitter, tiny person saying, I want to be the greatest of all
because
time.
Because he has
no room
so much.
For anybody else.
Yeah.
Marino said he was not happy when Peyton broke his record. He said it was hard. It was hard watching somebody break my record. It's not easy.
Yeah.
If you're lung this morning, like, are you questioning your ability? Like, how do they decide to send Terry up there with no voice to present the Super Bowl trophy when you've got Howie Long sitting right there? Come on, guys.
Yeah,
I couldn't do that.
He could. You could barely understand a word he was saying.
No, I mean, Terry sounded like he had something in his mouth.
Yeah. Well, that was a great Super Bowl. The Giants ended up beating the Patriots. Let's talk just quickly because we're out of time, but tell us about the Laker trade and why Dave, the King of Mexico, who had a bet with me about the best season record this year, has already paid me. He's a Clipper fan. He came in this morning and said, here's your money. It's already over. Here's your money.
Well, you know, Pau Gasol, number one, has a beard, and I believe that helps give him some of the powers that Jesus carried as he walked through the peasants.
Because you have a beard?
Well, maybe that happens.
Yeah, sure.
So does Tom Petty, by the way.
I love him because I have a beard.
So does Tom Petty. That's true. All right. Go ahead.
He's great. He's really good. He's one of the best big men in the game. He's a legitimate seven-footer. And when you consider how great Andrew Bynum was and how great the Lakers were playing with him as a seven-foot-one guy, you know how, you know, those guys just don't come around. Seven-footers that can play this game are very rare. And the fact that the Lakers have probably two of the best 10 in the league pretty much makes them the best team on paper because those two guys combine with who? The best player in the league in Kobe Bryant.
Oh, that's so fantastic.
Yeah, on paper, they probably should win the NBA championship this year.
And the added benefit of getting rid of the dead weight that is Kwame Brown.
Yes, Tiny Hands Brown.
Oh!
Iron Hands Brown.
God, I hated that guy.
Yeah, P really hated him. I think he had to come up with new names for his hands every day. From Stone Hands, to, you know, the 10... tablet hands to waffle iron hands. I mean, the kid just, unfortunately, I put it best. I think it was Tex Winter who said it. He said, you know, God blessed him with so many incredible gifts, but played a cruel joke by giving him those tiny hands.
So, Matt, what do you say? Right. Boston Lakers in the finals?
I think you could very well see a Lakers-Celtics final. I
mean, how about that? That would be great. Yeah. Good times. Good times. Yeah. All right, Lakers versus Nets, by the way, tomorrow at 4:30, I guess, and you'll be doing the pregame as usual over there on AM 570. Money, great to talk to you, man. Great to catch up with you. Say hi to P, and we appreciate you coming on with us on the K-Rock this morning.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, dude. Bye now.
Well, Kevin, there's trouble in your old hometown of Phoenix, Arizona. A cab driver there, who is on the line with us now, Jeffrey Howell, is being sued by the big boys, and he's fighting it. We need to find out what this is all about. Jeff, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, my friend?
Hi, how are you doing?
Very good.
Thanks
Thank
for joining
you.
Us. You had a pretty big weekend, I guess, with the Super Bowl in town, huh?
Oh, it's been crazy. We can't move. Traffic's all backed up everywhere.
Well, now you know what it's like living out here all the time, dude.
Well, it's been getting pretty busy over here, too.
Now, we first saw your story. I saw a quote in Time magazine, and it had something to do with the RIAA, the recording industry, suing you for copying songs from CDs that you legally purchased to your own computer. And I thought, there's no possible way they can make that stick. That's a step too far. That was the first article that I read. Then the second article that I read said pretty much the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The article I'm reading today says it's a little bit different than that. That you downloaded those songs into a file that was available through Kazaa. So which is it? Or is it
both?
Why
don't you tell us what's going on, Jeffrey?
Oh, yeah, it's kind of stupid, but I made MP3s from my personal CDs
right.
on my computer, and either the computer or the Kazaa program malfunctioned and shared my whole hard drive.
Well, I think that's what Kazaa does, or any of these file sharing programs does. If it's on your computer, that's its purpose, is to make the songs on your computer available to other users, and conversely, you would have access to the songs on their computers. I mean, that's how it's designed. But it sounds like you're saying you didn't use Kazaa.
No. That's actually not true. I did have Kazaa on there, and according to its directions, it had a file, and that one file was supposed to be the one that was shared. And I had very little to nothing in it. My music was in the folder that was designed by Windows for the CD My Music, and that's where my music was stored.
Okay, so, but the recording industry says that all of your music was in the file that was available on Kazaa, no?
That's what they're saying. They, according to them, the fact that they could see it means it must have been in that shared folder.
Gotcha. Now, there have been hundreds of lawsuits similar to yours over the years, and some people have tried to fight it, and I don't think they've had a great deal of success. Did you think about trying to settle this one with them?
Well, their first contact, they actually started contacting my wife, because the internet provider was actually, you know, she was the billing name, and they called her. She didn't know what they were talking about.
Right.
The next thing you know, they're calling and harassing her, you know, pretty regular, and basically saying, give us money and we'll go away.
They were trying to settle for $6,000 is what I read.
Well, I think it was originally 10 and then they came down to 6.
Wow, okay. That's a ton of money.
And then they even offered to finance it.
They're going to put you on a payment plan?
Yeah, put me on a payment plan.
Sounds like a scheme.
Yeah, Jeff, exactly.
What do you face now if you're going forward to trial on this?
There was actually a judgment filed a few months back for over $40,000.
Oh, dude. Ow.
Dude.
That's a lot of cab fare.
Yeah, it is, considering I don't own anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the next paper I filed had the judge overturn that decision and order the plaintiffs to prove what they're talking about.
Okay.
And so far they haven't been able to. They wanted to say that I downloaded the music. Then they wanted to say that I'm distributing the music. Mm-hmm. And then finally, they came up and said, making the copies on my computer is unauthorized.
Okay, now that's the part that hit me and sounded like it's not possible that that's the case. That if I buy a CD, transferring it to my own computer can't be illegal. But isn't the crux of the issue the folder that you had it in and they said it was available through Kazaa? That makes a big difference.
The lawsuit they originally filed is about downloading and then they changed it into uploading, and that's about the gazosh sharing and this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
But the lawyer made the phrase in one of his statements about the actual act of making the copy onto your computer as being unauthorized, that they're unauthorized copies. And that's what's making everybody crazy. I mean,
yeah. That's what caught my attention, too.
Yeah, that's the first time they've tried that tact, and obviously that's absurd. I mean, that, there's no way anything associated with that claim is going to stick. Is there, Jeffrey?
Not that I can think of. I mean, I've been all over the place, and I'm redoing this myself, so I'm doing a lot of research. And one of the things I actually found on the RIAA website, if you actually read pages and pages and pages into it, they actually say that it's okay to record two cassettes, mini CDs, and special CDRs. And the designation special means that they've paid royalties to the record companies to make those blanks.
But not to a computer hard drive.
Computer hard drive's not listed for whatever reason. Whether the rules of the law was created before everybody had a computer in their pocket.
Right.
It seems like if they're going to try and make it stick that you can't copy your own legally purchased music to your computer, that's way bogus. But if they get you for having it in Kazaa, whole different story. Seems like to me.
Well, that's the whole thing. The thing seems to keep mutating. I mean, the last thing was the judge ordered them to find somebody that actually downloaded from me. Because just because they said the music was available, and for distributing, the law is actually written that I have to have a physical thing and give it to a person physically, and there's a witness to it and all that kind of stuff.
And none of that would be the case here, right?
No, that doesn't even count electronics, because the laws in this case don't count this. The laws weren't written for computers or downloads or the digital age.
They haven't changed it from you have to hand a physical copy to somebody to you can download a... They had to have changed that for all the lawsuits.
They're trying to, and I think they're actually trying to do it in the local courts with cases like this.
Wow.
The part that I find is really, really, really hilarious is, you know, back in the 70s, Sony Corporation was getting sued by the movie industry for allowing people to make copies using the old VCRs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well... And now that it's to their profit benefit, they're on the other side of the fence suing me.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Right.
You lost me there. Hey, Jeff, we're almost out of time, but let me ask you this. What's your legal setup like? Do you have attorneys? And as a cab driver in Scottsdale, how are you paying for what must be enormous legal fees to defend yourself?
Well, unfortunately, the two or three attorneys that I talked to said they don't handle that kind of thing. And when I finally found one that said, oh, we might, a week later, the conglomerate that's suing me is so big, they've had dealings with them and can't do it because it's conflict of interest, so things have been getting thrown out. And I found out just recently, I was wondering why nobody contacted me, but evidently if I don't ask, they can't contact me. So, hey, this might be a good time for...
To ask?
Any lawyer out there that wants to gang up on the RIAA, you know, to start to contact you guys and get my number, and maybe we get 100 guys ganging up on them instead of 500 of them against me.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's so fine with us. We're happy to pass along the information. If there are attorneys out there who have heard us describe this case and want to get more information or maybe represent you, we'd be happy to put you guys together.
Although history does show that representing yourself is the way to go, I think.
Well, if you represent yourself, you have a fool for a client. That's what they used to say. Yeah, you got to get some help, dude. You can't be expected to talk all lawyerese in court, man. You got to get somebody, and we'll do what we can if somebody calls us. All right.
I had no option.
I understand. I hear you. You got your back up against the wall, Jeff. I see what you're saying. All right, Jeffrey Howell, man. We'd like to stay in touch and see what happens next. But thank you for coming on and giving us your side of it today. All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Bye bye.
Big day yesterday, Super Bowl 42, and the New England Patriots lost, so that they're not the perfect team that they wanted to be.
I felt so bad, no, not for Tom Brady, not for the Patriots, not for the fans, for poor Chris Myers, the schmuck who had to go into the locker room and interview Coach Belichick after the loss. Because let's face it, he's a surly bastard anyway.
When they're winning, he's a surly bastard.
Yes, exactly. When they're 18-0, he's cranky. Can you imagine the Fox guy standing around going, I don't want to go do it. Come on, you go do it. Oh, seriously, don't make me go do it.
Let's draw straws.
Oh! just so miserable, and he was very brief. He had very little to say about the game, but clearly he was disappointed. So we thought maybe we'd find out more what's on the coach's mind now that he's had a few hours to kind of relax and think about it. And we have him back on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Coach.
Okay.
So, first of all, congratulations on a great season. Nothing to be ashamed of. 18-1 is a tremendous NFL mark.
All right.
You sound a little disappointed.
Yeah, we're a little disappointed.
Yeah.
Certainly, yes. Well, no one can. I mean, of course, you want to win the Super Bowl. You go there, you want to win it. I understand where you're coming from, sure.
But you got to hand it to the Giants, right?
Okay.
Coach Belichick, were you surprised at how great their defense was? I mean, you prepared as best you could, but I mean, I think they even had to surprise you with the way they were able to get to Brady throughout the game.
Well, they were the number one team with the most sacks in the course of the season.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
right. We knew they were good.
Right.
Right. But I mean, it really it seemed to really take Tom Brady out of his comfort level to have so little time out with the ball.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to expand much, do you?
Well, they made the plays they had to make.
Yeah, they did, and they beat you.
We had a chance to make some plays there, and we didn't do it.
Yeah.
So, we're disappointed.
Mm-hmm. What about that unbelievable play where your defense had Eli Manning? It looked like 10 of them had him, and then he got out, and then they made that amazing catch. What about that?
Okay.
That was the one where he threw it to his receiver, who reached up seemingly into the sky to pull it down and hold it on his helmet as he fell to the ground and managed to hang on to the ball. It was 30-something yards. That was part of their incredible 85-yard drive near the end of the game.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was just pretty impressive. You got to give him credit for that.
Yeah.
Coach, what about leaving the stadium when the game is there's still time on the game clock? What about that? What about there being 1 second left on the clock? They have to do another play, and you're already in the locker room.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like, bad sportsmanship.
Okay.
Coach, do you have anything you want to say maybe to the fans of the Patriots who have been rooting for you all year long?
Hold on a second.
Hello?
Damn it. Tom Brady missed. I shouldn't have had him try to shoot me. I should have done it myself.
Would you have preferred Harvey Danger in the halftime show of the Super Bowl yesterday, Kevin? Since
yes.
You had a lot of complaints about the great Tom Petty being out there?
I would have loved that. It would have been much better.
He preferred Harvey
really?
11. Even Harvey Danger he would have taken.
Tom Petty's just boring.
Not boring. He's one of the great rock. The Heartbreakers is one of the great American rock bands.
From the early 70s.
Ever. Across the board.
What are you talking about? They've sold more records in this decade than they ever have before. They've been enormous.
Boring.
What is it you don't like about them? That their songs are good, that their singing is good, that their musicianship is excellent, that they have great showmanship? What is it about them you don't like?
It's not a loaded question, I don't think, so I'm going to answer that as if it's not. Yes,
okay,
Bean, that's all true. Boring. It's boring. It's old songs. He looks like a homeless dude. I don't know. It failed to interest me at all. That's all.
Boy, you're a tough room, dude.
I'm just saying. What do you want me to say?
I want you to admit, Kevin and Bean, I was wrong. Tom Petty was great at the Super Bowl yesterday.
I have to admit that to Kevin and Bean?
Yes, you do. That's how it
because
works.
You are a tough room.
I'm an entire room.
You are.
All right.
Yes.
I want to hear you say, I wasn't looking forward to Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, but then when I saw them and what a great performance they gave, I realized I was wrong because those are tremendous songs by a very talented rock band.
I don't think I can pull that off. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph. Boring.
You two should settle this tonight. Have some pillow talk and just work it out, won't you?
Boring.
Just don't go to bed angry. That's all I ask. Got an email. Get a ton of emails since I made this announcement earlier today. This is from listener Marilyn. All I heard was something about Buffy and pushing daisies and people getting together at some festival. But I missed the rest of the details. Could you tell me where I can get tickets again? Thanks, Marilyn. Yes, I made the announcement today that the William S. Paley Television Festival is once again happening this year. This is the 25th annual
TV festival that they do. It was the Museum of Television and Radio formerly. Now it's known as the Paley Center for Media. You can go to Paley, P-A-L-E-Y, center.org for all the details. But basically what it is a festival for TV fans to meet the creators and casts of their favorite TV shows, past and present. They've done 25 years of these, and they've just about hit on every great television show ever. This year's lineup is just as good. Pushing Daisies will get a night all to itself, as will Chuck, Friday Night Lights. They're going to have a Buffy the Vampire Slayer reunion with the cast and creator Joss Whedon.
That sounds cool.
We'll be answering questions and spending an evening with them, seeing some footage from that classic show. Dancing with the Stars, Gossip Girl from the CW, Damages from FX, Dirty Sexy Money, and Mad Men, amongst others, are on the list for this year's event. It happens from March 14th to the 27th. Tickets go on sale now!
Go.
Right this second?
Right this second. Actually, okay. Yeah, 2 minutes ago. Two minutes ago, nine o'clock this morning.
You're too late.
Went on sale at ticketweb.com. So go there for all the details and paleycenter.org for more details.
I went to the night that they had Dexter casting. That was so cool.
I went to the Lost night, first season of Lost. Back when it was good, I went to that one. And I enjoyed it immensely. But I've been to a whole bunch of them, and it's always entertaining because they show you some footage that you can't see anywhere else. Usually it's an upcoming episode if it's done during the season, so you get to see an advanced screening.
Back when they had them.
Back when they had TV shows. And then they answer questions from the audience, and they go over how they created the show and how the cast feels about it, and it's really entertaining if you're a big TV geek like me. So there's all your details. All right, Marilyn, I'll try to listen more closely in the future, won't you?
Sure.
All I heard was Buffy and Daisies and Festival and nothing else. What is she listening to? Every other word we talk about?
What night is the Moment of Truth retrospective at the Paley Museum? Do they have that one on the schedule yet for this year?
Not as of yet. It's not on the schedule, no.
Okay.
That answer is false. Sorry, they're not doing that. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office from this weekend, shall we? Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus concert tour movie, made $29 million this weekend.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
$29 million.
That's the largest Super Bowl box office opening ever, by the way. Super Bowl weekend box office.
Well, 12-year-old girls don't care about the Super Bowl,
that's
right.
Correct. And gay guys, right?
You got a lot of balls. You got a lot of balls. Had it been High School Musical Part 7 or whatever else is coming out on the big screen, you would have been there with Hello Kitty bells on.
Because he's one of the gay guys.
Exactly.
Because that rules. But I'm not into Hannah at all.
The Eye and its debut.
She's female, Ralph.
That's true.
No.
The Eye and its debut made $13 million, made it number two at the box office.
You do not want a killer's eye. That's what I found out.
Apparently not.
Do not want that.
27 Dresses was number three. Juno was number four.
Juno? Yay!
Makes it so much better somehow.
Wow.
Sounds good in my head.
Does it?
Sounds good to us too, Lisa.
Yeah. It does.
I wonder what happens from your head to your mouth.
I don't know.
Meet the Spartans was number five, then Rambo, The Bucket List, Untraceable, Cloverfield, and There Will Be Blood.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it.
I don't think I'm familiar with how to use that yet. I don't feel comfortable with that yet.
Dude,
I drink.
Put down.
I drink your milkshake.
That's what I said, dude, I ate your lunch on that play.
Right.
That kind of thing. Instead of eating your lunch, I'm drinking your milkshake.
It sounds lame. Is what it is, right?
Yeah,
sounds like a lame burn.
You got served. It's just like that.
I stole some of your ketchup.
Drink your milkshake, bitch.
Come on, it's just lame.
You know that milkshake you like so much? I drink it. Okay. You don't get it. I drink it.
Not drank? Drunk?
No.
Just
no,
drink.
I drink your milkshake.
Okay. That's. I'm drinking? Nope.
No. Right. Will you just listen?
I'm trying to clarify.
Are you Marilyn?
Can it be a malt?
It's not a malt. It's a milkshake.
By the way, someone has already purchased idrinkyourmilkshake.com.
Of course they have.
They've moved on it.
Surprised Bean. Of course, Bean was trying to buy it.
It was him, by the way.
Found out that he got beat out.
I want to buy it and do nothing with it.
I'm going to put photos of famous milkshakes. This is the one Richie Cunningham drank on Happy Days.
It is funny, though, because if you haven't seen There Will Be Blood, you hear I Drink Your Milkshake, and you get a feeling of some sort of a hilarious, wacky comedy or something.
Sure.
And nothing could be further from the truth.
Very, very not funny.
Not a funny movie.
It's not milkshakey at all.
No joy whatsoever. Congratulations to Catherine McPhee. Oh, my little Kit Kat. She got married on Saturday to her longtime boyfriend, Nick Kokas. Got married in Beverly Hills. Yes, yes, it's true. She's 23. He's 42.
Oh,
but
dude.
19 years does not love keep apart.
It does when he's 80 and she's 60.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. He's just not going to live to be 80.
Okay.
Not to worry. Britney Spears won't be leaving the UCLA Medical Center for a little while longer. She was admitted on a 5150, which is not just a great Van Halen album, but actually a 72-hour hold they put you on when they put you in the loony bin. Well, they decided she could use a few more days in there. Gave her another 2 weeks. They extended her tour. She got held over, as they say in show business. So, congratulations, Britney.
Glad what's up here. With that?
Yeah, what's up, indeed.
You were talking last week, Ralph, about how much she puts in the economy, Britney Spears, about how valuable she is to people making money, all the people who have jobs because of Britney's existence.
Yes.
And a figure I saw was $120 million in the Los Angeles economy as a direct result of Britney Spears living.
That's just paparazzi and tabloids and reporters and that kind of stuff.
Isn't that unbelievable, though?
This is
worse than the writer's strike for some people right now. And Britney in the hospital has just got to be killing them.
Right, what are they going to shoot?
How much longer is it going to be until we hear Britney?
Yeah, good question. And some bad news. Spice Girls are cutting their reunion tour short.
No!
Yeah.
I don't care. Best show ever. Oh, no.
After sold-out dates in the UK and here in the States, poor ticket sales have forced cancellations in Australia, China, South Africa, and Argentina.
Did you see on YouTube the video of their finale of their concert when their sound cut out?
No.
Their sound completely cut out. Everyone booed, and they walked off stage.
Oh.
Good times.
Wow. I feel bad for... posh and scary and ginger and old and
that was funny. There's an old
salsa.
Salsa spice?
Salsa spice. Isn't there salsa?
I don't think so.
I don't think
the
so.
Latin
no.
one? Today's celebrity birthdays. Natalie Imbruglia. Singer. She's 33 years old today. Rick Birch, bassist for Jimmy Eat World. Or Jew, as I like to call them.
Jimmy Eat World, yeah.
Yeah. J-E-W.
Mm-hmm.
He's 33 years old today. Oscar De La Hoya. Boxer. He's 35 years old today.
Oscar, how are you going to celebrate?
Oscar, how are you going to celebrate?
I'm going to celebrate like a great champion because that's what I am. I'm the golden boy. Te quiero mucho de everybody in Islos who has supported me for my career.
Right.
I'm going to do many things and have sex with men. Thank you.
Now, what? What'd you say at the end there?
I thought there was a have sex with men in there. What was that?
Alice Cooper, who you saw on a Super Bowl commercial last night, him and his snake. And no, that's not a euphemism. He was 60 years old today. And Conrad Bain.
Yeah.
Who played Philip Drummond on the show Different Strokes. And as we established, was a creepy old white dude who was taking in young black men to fondle them in their sleep.
I don't think we established that.
While ignoring his drug-addicted natural daughter.
Oh, this is fun, huh?
Is that the remix?
Wow.
K-Rock.
DJ Cycle Mike over there, the ones and twos.
Why would he do that?
I don't know.
Oh, this is fun, huh?
Yeah, that's not funny.
That's the showbiz beat, yo.
Rodney Harrison, strong safety, New England Patriots. As a kid growing up, my brother named me Duty because I used to have really bad gas. Pretty stinky. You didn't want to hear that.
I think, I don't know, there may be too much pre-show time. I just think when you start getting into stories like that, maybe they should reduce the length of the Super Bowl pre-show.
Here's why my family called me Duty.
I mean, come on. On Friday's show, ahead of the Super Bowl 42 that was held yesterday in Glendale, Arizona, we had on a young friend of ours named John Cryer, who, of course, is one of the stars of CBS hit 2.5 Men.
So that happened.
Right. He's a diehard Giants fan, and he was on mouthing off about his Giants were going to have the upset of the world. And we said, if you put your money where your mouth is, you'll come back here on Monday's show, win or lose. And he said he would, and here he is. Good morning, John.
Hello, Kevin and B.
Well, listen and to who today. Sounds pretty happy today.
Wow, whole different attitude.
Well, yes, I think so. And if you recall, so certain was I of the mighty New York football Giants winning the Super Bowl.
That you didn't put any money on it?
That I didn't put any money on it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Good call.
If you recall.
Yep, you could have won a lot of money there.
I also did not bother to watch the game. I don't know if that shocks you. But let me ask you this, Kevin and Bean.
Wait a minute. You didn't watch the Super Bowl.
Well, no, I'm going to ask you a question. In the fourth quarter, by any chance, with a minute remaining, did Eli Manning rather shrug off, I think, three tackles and waft a pass to David Tyree, who caught it against his helmet and then bent over backwards like a like a Redondo Beach yoga instructor and make a magnificent play. Did that occur?
It was one of the most amazing plays I've ever seen in the Super Bowl.
I designed that play.
Really?
Yes.
Congratulations.
That was all me.
So you said the crier. The crier.
Let them get you in their clutches and then escape, you told the retard.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
Exactly.
And he did.
And a wonderful retard he is.
Yes, he is.
Special Olympics are next.
He could win the Special Olympics. I'm convinced now that I've seen him play.
He totally drank Tom Brady's milkshake.
Yes,
come on.
He did, if that's what
that's an excellent point,
it.
John. You know, it's funny because I don't think we can do a very good job of describing that tackle that should have been. I mean, he was in the middle of a group of like nine Patriots, and you thought for sure he's going down in the middle of that. And then the next thing you know, he's away. He gets away from it and just hurls it as far as he could throw it, exactly to where it needed to be.
He's a nimble little retard. and now he gets to sleep with Giselle Bundchen.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, he gets her. That's part of the prize for MVP.
That's how it works. That's
I didn't realize that.
Cadillac Escalade and the keys to Giselle.
That's very nice. Hey, John. In all seriousness, where did you watch the game yesterday?
I watched it at my friend Rich's house.
Okay.
Next to the saddest Patriots fan, Adam, a lovely, lovely, wonderful gentleman.
But isn't that the best?
Yes. Well, no, it was not the best. It was not the best. Watching another human being crumble before my eyes
is the best. You could say you drank his milkshake, if I'm not mistaken.
It's sounding really gay now.
Now, John, that's true. Now, John, did you see, as part of the 28-hour pregame show,
yes,
the retard's father speaking about his slow development?
Yes, saying that he didn't talk till he was two.
Would you mind if I played a clip?
Yeah, go ahead.
Archie Manning, Eli Manning's father.
Eli, he was a kid that... He's a slow reader, kind of slow out of the box.
I got a grandson right now that my youngest grandson is two. He's not talking yet. They said, don't worry about it. Eli was three before he talked.
See?
I was like, someday Eli will learn.
I was like, no, he's not saying that.
You've been watching Giants games for many, many years, as you explained on Friday. Why can Eli Manning not close his mouth when he plays?
He has to breathe. Perhaps he has sinus issues. Did that even occur to you?
He's got a total blockage in his nose because he can't physically close his mouth. It doesn't happen.
See, that's what happens. He's a mouth breather.
He is a mouth breather, yes.
And a window licker.
And a window licker. And the MVP of the Super Bowl. Who could have predicted that?
John,
well, I think somebody did.
Somebody did.
I don't remember anyone.
Oh, no, actually, I didn't specifically.
No,
say
you
that.
Didn't at all.
Hey, John, did you have, were there other friends of yours who were on board with the Giants, or have you just been subject to ridicule in the 2 weeks leading up to this game as being the only guy saying New York was going to win it?
I have been subject to ridicule, the likes of which, just a humiliation at every turn.
Are you calling everyone today just like you did us?
Hello. I there were some gleeful emails.
Hello,
sure.
Newman.
and you're the second most gleeful call.
Yeah.
I bet you're enjoying this very much.
I am.
Well, 18-1 doesn't quite have the ring that 19-0 does, but we got to give you and your team congratulations, John. Well done.
Well, thank you. It was all me.
It was. Well, I can't believe you designed that play. I was not aware of that.
Well, actually, what the real secret was, my wife Lisa bought me a New York Giants t-shirt for Christmas. The first time I wore it was for the New England Patriots game, the first one.
Right.
And that's when everything turned around.
That is pretty much when the team turned around. That's true.
So it's my wife, really.
So now you have to wear that shirt every time they play?
Yes.
Okay.
And
yep.
I'm never
going
to watch it.
All right. That's how it works.
Enjoy.
All right. Fantastic. 2.5 Men, by the way, Mondays at 9. Hey, that's tonight on CBS. And by the way, big news over the weekend, John. It looks like this writer's strike is finally winding down, man. You could be back to work here pretty soon.
Nothing would make me happier.
Yeah, that would be good. Until then, call your friends and tell them that the retard did it.
Yay!
Thank you, John.
Sorry, you must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Great news, you guys. The LA Kings K-Rock tailgate party is back, this time bigger and better than ever. You can join us for a night of Kings hockey, music, food, and beer on Friday, February 15th from 6 till 7:30. That's prior to the Calgary Flames game. Hosted by our own Striker with a Tail and Kings legend Marty McSorley. So that's what you get tickets for right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you give us a call and get on the air with Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew.
Start with Brett in Lake Forest. Good morning, Brett. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What It Do?
What It Do, Nephew? What It Do, Lisa May?
What It Do?
What's going on?
I just wanted to talk about the Super Bowl. I don't know if it was me or what, but I thought it was probably the longest and retardest game I had ever watched. I mean, the game just went on like forever.
Did you say retarded because Eli Manning was retarded?
Well, besides that.
You mean slow and boring.
It was the same length as other games, but you're saying you were dissatisfied with the lack of scoring in the first three quarters.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the lowest scoring, game ever. I mean, I was hoping it was going to be like the Giants and Packers game 2 weeks ago. I mean, that was a game.
You wanted 112 to 107.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Well, I thought it was a great game. It wasn't high scoring, but I thought it was a great game.
Yeah, they don't always work out that way, but you had to, I mean, whatever complaints you may have had in the first part of the game, when the lead changed three times in the fourth quarter, for the first time ever in Super Bowl history, by the way, that had to get you going.
Well, yeah.
Well, there's that.
What does a team have to do to get Brett's attention?
No kidding.
All right, let's go to Fred, who is calling from Fullerton. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
How you doing, Lisa May?
I'm good.
Yeah, I just wanted to... I was on the other day and said that the Giants would win the Super Bowl. I gave everybody a free pick. You know, go to Vegas or call your bookie or whatever, and you know, make some money. But one of the best Super Bowls ever.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, one of. I don't know if you noticed. You didn't talk about it this morning yet, but coming out of the tunnel, I thought Tom Brady looked very nervous.
I did too, but he's kind of robotic in general.
Yeah, he doesn't smile or loosen up ever. He always looks a little uptight when he's out there.
He did look bummed, though, like when they would show him on the bench and stuff. He just looked like he kind of knew it was coming, which is the opposite of the way he normally looks. But
Right. The Giants were very loose. Giants were loose. You know, they were all happy. Coughlin was excited. You know, he cheering on the touchdowns and everything, but... Belichick, he just kind of hangs out on the sideline.
Although Belichick was going nuts with that sweatshirt choice. You know what I mean? I mean, he's got the gray hoodie for the whole season. This time he put on a red one and cut off the arms. Yeah. He's crazy like that.
It's not a good look for the coach at all. No, you're right about that. I think the Giants did look relaxed, but I think all the pressure was on the Patriots. I mean, the Giants had to go in there going, it's the greatest upset in football history if we win this game, but if we don't, then nobody expected us to win anyway, so we don't have anything to lose. So really, I think they've just had a great time doing it. But I didn't know who to root for at the start of that game, but I increasingly got more and more impressed with that Giants defense. I mean, they were just smothering the hell out of Brady, and it was a beautiful thing to watch. It was good stuff.
Jimmy and Santa Ana, good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, during the pregame show, they had this commercial with the 72 Dolphins. They were barbecuing in the front yard, and I guess they had something set up where they're expecting new kids on the block, you know, to hang out with the undefeated teams. But they said to stay tuned till after the game to see what happens, and I kind of stuck around, but nothing really came up. So I was kind of thinking maybe they never bothered to... pre-record victory for the Giants.
I got to tell you, I'm not a big fan of, hey, we're going to show you a commercial now, and you need to wait around for 3 hours, or you need to go to your computer to see the end of it, or whatever.
A lot of work.
I don't want to work that hard for my stuff.
I agree. Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of that.
So we don't know either.
We don't know, and we don't care. That's what we're saying.
Although those Dolphins sure are sipping champagne this morning, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
They sure are happy.
Jenner in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Oh, geez. Anyone who thought that was a boring game should have been watching the Puppy Bowl.
No kidding. I mean, I was excited.
Hey, did they have the Puppy Bowl again this year? I didn't even hear about that.
Of course. Awesome. Mike watched it. What are you calling about, Jenner?
Oh, man. I'm just calling. I'm sick. So I had to borrow money from my girlfriend to get home from Vegas yesterday. She doesn't know anything about football. I follow football and crunch all the numbers. I had all the picks. She picks, what's his name, the quarterback for, I just drew a blank.
Eli Manning?
Eli Manning?
Manning as MVP. Puts $50 on it because she feels sorry for him because he's the younger brother. Gets no respect.
And he's retarded.
And retarded. And she ends up winning it. I lost all my money picking the Patriots, picking that idiot from the Patriots as MVP. Dude, what's going on with that?
That seems to be the way it works, man. The less they know about it, they pick, jersey color.
Cute butt. Absolutely. Like his girlfriend.
And they do as well as people who follow closely.
Yep.
It's depressing.
How much do you win on a $50 bet on who will be the Super Bowl MVP?
Well, I'll tell you what, we have plenty of money for gas and plenty of money for booze and everything else on the way back, and probably filled up for your refrigerator.
So a lot.
Wow. It's worth it. Well,
thank God for her. You're not a good gambler.
You're a loser, Jenner.
one of the props, by the way, and I never heard how this one came out with Vegas odds, was whether the Super Bowl national anthem, which was sung by Jordan Sparks, whether it would be above or below a certain time. Like,
what?
Would it be more than a minute and 42 seconds or under or something like that?
That
isn't that hilarious? That's a real prop that you can make in Las Vegas, yeah.
That's scary. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Philip in Long Beach. Good morning, Philip.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Yeah, what about that interview they did of Eli after the game?
Awesome.
Oh, my God. I laughed so hard. All I could think of was Ralph.
Was the Ralph's impression? Yeah, Eli. He really does breathe through his mouth a lot, and he looks retarded, and he looks like he's in seventh grade.
I was cracking up the whole time. And what is it with the commercials? I didn't see anything that was that, you know.
That's one of the talking points that all of the media has in that 2 weeks up to the Super Bowl. I hate that whole angle. I hate. Let's talk about the commercials. Drives me
However,
crazy.
Having said that, Kevin, TiVo comes out today and says more people watched the commercials than watched the game.
Well, those people should be put yesterday. To death. That would just be ridiculous.
Hello.
Yeah,
Philip, it's funny you bring up Eli Manning because we spoke with him earlier today, but Producer Lightning says he's back on the phone with us right now. Eli, good morning.
I'm Eli.
Hey, congratulations again.
Hi.
Eli.
You know, we talked to you earlier, right?
What?
We talked to you earlier. Remember we said congratulations?
Hi, Mark and Brian.
No.
I'm Eli.
Kevin and me. Hey, Eli, are you still...
You didn't win anything.
Well, the Super Bowl.
You won the Super Bowl yesterday.
No,
how about that?
No,
you didn't win anything for that. You won the Super Bowl. You were MVP. You got a brand new car. That's not enough.
I won a Cadillac.
You got a Cadillac.
Cadillac Hyman.
It's not hybrid. A Hyman. It's a hybrid.
Now you remember.
Do they let you drive?
I need a driver.
Do they let you drive is a good question.
I have to wear a helmet.
That's what we hear.
And not just on the field.
Now, Eli, are we going to have to say goodbye to you now that it's the off season?
Okay, bye.
No, I'm saying no.
We're not saying bye.
No.
Eli, we just mean, are we going to check in with you between now and the start of next year, or is this it for, are you saying goodbye?
Stupid. Next year already started. It's February.
No, next
year. Football season.
Next football season he's talking about.
I'm 1-0.
You're number 10. Yes, okay. Eli.
I wear 1-0.
Yes, you do. Okay.
Two more years
of what?
1-0.
Till 2010?
2010.
Yeah.
I see
then I'll be the same as the year.
Well, your number's not 2010.
What?
Never mind.
All right, Eli, we have to go, but congratulations again.
I won a Super Bowl.
Yes, you did.
Peyton didn't win nothing.
No, he didn't. That's true.
He wasn't playing.
He was watching you from the stands.
Don't tell anybody.
Well, I think everyone knows.
I have a girlfriend touched my pee-pee.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling.
We got to go.
I want to thank John Cryer for joining us, 2.5 Men episodes Monday nights at 9 on CBS. Thanks to Matt Money Smith for joining us, too, talking about the big game. He'll, of course, be on AM 570 this afternoon and doing the pregame for the Lakers and Nets tomorrow. And I think that's it for the big guest. What's going on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show?
Tomorrow, an all-new show. You know that that urban legend of the guy that loses his kidney and he's in a tub full of ice in Vegas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he gets his organ stolen, right.
Didn't happen. Urban legend, didn't happen. Everybody calls, they say it happened. Didn't happen.
Right.
It happened. Apparently in India, it's happening a lot. There are doctors that are stealing kidneys and selling them on the black market.
Oh, my God.
So you actually do end up in a tub of ice. Good times.
Wow.
Also tomorrow, vigilante justice. Talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
People who take the law into their own hands.
I wonder who that would be.
I don't know who that would be. I'm sorry, what?
Nothing, just got a cough.
That sounded like a cough, by the way.
Also, tomorrow we have our iTunes giveaway. We're going to do that tomorrow.
Okay.
Give you a bunch of free songs. And we have tickets to the Grammys every day this week in the 7 o'clock hour.
Beautiful.
So tomorrow in the 7 o'clock hour, your tickets to the Grammys, which you cannot buy tickets for.
And Kat Corbett with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock next. How about the Chili Peppers, the new one from Atreyu. We got Sublime, Incubus, White Stripes, and more after this on K-Rock.